this week, EverQuest turned 20, and it may not be old enough to drink in the U.S., but if you played it, you are. If that doesn't drive you to drink, in celebration and moderation, then join us for the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight with episode number 769 for this March 24th of 2019. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you with my co-host in studio, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hungry, for
yes,
once.
Yes, I know.
I'm not normally hungry, but I'm hungry now.
So unlike the show, what was it, like 3 weeks ago when Mr. Smush actually got out? I think that was, you weren't here for that. It was like your last show not here. So unlike that show, when somebody showed up with food delivery unintentionally, you're planning to make food delivery show up intentionally tonight.
Absolutely, on purposely.
How do you like those services? I've never used them. Am I weird?
I've only used this once, and I had it delivered while I was doing my hair, getting my hair done. So it was actually really convenient. Goat curry, yum.
That's interesting to get it delivered places. Yeah, I guess, okay.
Dude, I am so getting goat curry.
Interesting. You've had it delivered everywhere but your house. Okay, cool.
Pretty much.
Anyway, also joining us, of course, here in studio, Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm fine.
I like your Pokemon theme shirt. It's very cute.
It's one of my new shirts that I have. You can't really see it. I guess here, I'll stand up.
That's right.
Not stand up.
Because now that we are on Twitch TV, because we do tape live at twitch.tv/VOG Network every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And since we are on Twitch, we have to make more like wardrobe choices and style. Like, I can't come out here in my PJs. Well, I guess I could.
I was going to wear, I had worn it on stream the other day, I think. Maybe I did. I don't remember.
Oh, when you were doing your DDR, like
I had a Thomas the Tank shirt. It's a tank. You know,
okay.
It's hilarious.
I like that.
So I had that, and then I have a few other Nintendo shirts, but this is what I went with today because I was playing Pokemon Go. So.
Well, we'll come back to that because I think there was quite a bit of Pokemon Go going on this weekend and probably next weekend too. Mm-hmm. But we talk about a lot of video games, not just Pokemon Go, but it's, you got to admit, that one's pretty convenient because it's on the mobile game. But we're going to talk a lot about games tonight with you guys in our chat room, of course, over at twitch.tv/VOG Network, where Fifth Dream today says about the food delivery stuff, saying, I get them delivered to hotels. Very convenient. I need to think, you know what, because I was just in Vegas a couple weeks ago, and we got probably like 7 different pizza places slipping the like flyer under the door. And I'm like, I did not come to Las Vegas to order cardboard pizza, okay? Like, I came to Las Vegas to eat because there's a lot of good restaurants there. But food delivery, I didn't think about that one.
I'm going with lamb korma.
Yeah. You know what we were, I guess I can say this now because we're not at that hotel anymore. But do you know what we were right across the street from when we were in Vegas, our hotel? This giant new, and I've not seen anything like it here in California, but this gigantic MedMen store. You know what they sell?
Huh.
Marijuana.
Yum.
And it was a gigantic, like, it looked like a freaking like Bel Air, Raley's, like Safeway, like shopping thing. But it was all marijuana. Because I guess I didn't even realize Nevada made it legal like we did in California. So, yeah. Here in California, even the places to get, I mean, not that we're a weed podcast, but yeah, it's a thing. It's going on in culture right now, right? It was just made legal in California, right? But all the places to go buy it here, they still look like shady back alley places. At least all the ones I've seen still, like, they
just
have the guard out front.
Order it online.
That's what I've heard too, is that online is like the way to go.
Speaking of, delivery to your door, you can just do that.
That's what I do, actually. Except they don't do it to my door in where I live, but I go to Natomas and have it done at a friend's house. I go to Chibi's.
Wow. Okay.
That's where I get my CBD pen
nausea. You can get your food delivered. You can get your weed delivered. You can get
my fake weed.
Yeah.
Well, CBD pen.
How long until I can order a beach?
Did you hear, though, speaking of now that we're going
in this room, prefer a mango lassi, by the way.
Now that we're going into the marijuana podcast, did you hear that
it's not episode 420. It's 769. That's a different number.
Seriously, does anyone want mango lassi?
No, I don't.
But anyways, the guy that's the founder of Jelly Belly or whatever, they're making CBD Jelly Bellies now.
So. I heard, yeah.
I would eat that.
I don't know. I don't smoke weed, so it's not, you know, it's whatever. I don't care if other people do it, and I understand it's great for nausea and other things like that. It's just, I drink. Isn't that enough?
No.
Anyway. all right. So I guess, But you know what? Look, I know it's a video game show, not a marijuana show, but I'm no
and
idiot.
And I could, and I.
What do a lot of you do when you get high? You play video games.
And based on, you know, the billboards that I've seen, I can also apparently have had my Slurpee delivered to me as well. But what's the point at that point? Because, you know, you have to go get it and it's immediately melting. I just don't understand that. But you could do it if you wanted to, if you're that lazy.
Pixel Pacas in chat says, that's on the Strip. No, we were off Strip, but not far. If you know where the Hard Rock Hotel is in Vegas, that's, well, we weren't at that hotel, but we were like right in that area. And that's where the store was that I was.
And this place is pickup only, so that sucks.
So, all right. Oh, no. Oh, you put in a whole food order and then they were like, oh, only pickup?
Yeah, so that's, I have to cancel it.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, anyway, let's get into our kickoff talk. Well, you know what? It's funny because we're talking about all this instant gratification stuff, and that actually does tie into the news this week a little bit because Game Developers Conference happened, so we had a lot of news around Game Developers Conference, and probably the big thing that we, you know, the big news out of Game Developers Conference is finally we know what Google's dive into gaming is going to look like, and the twist is it's not a console, right?
Yeah.
So tell us a little more about it, Logie.
It's a service, if you will. So they're calling it Google Stadia. And, of course, Phil Harrison, who's now over at Google now, was talking about, you know, their platform and everything. What they're basically going to use, their high-end backbone to running these really high-end gaming PCs or whatever are going to be streaming up to, well, they said eventually 8K, but right now 4K, 60 frames per second. To any screen you can think of.
Can I just quickly say, like, the 8K 120 frames a second, like, when they were talking about all that stuff, I thought instantly of, like, gigaflops and things that they just say because it's like, this
gigaflops
is
gigaflops are real things, though.
I know they are, but they're things that they just say, there's more of it. It's more better than what you know today. It's just, I don't know.
It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's a neat idea. I just don't know how practical it is with our network infrastructure that we have. But, okay, let's just pretend that that wasn't an obstacle. Then, yes, this could be a thing. So what they're going to do with Stadia is basically, you know, you would be able to – they're kind of linking it with a bunch of different things. So, for example, they have it linked with YouTube. So, like, you'd be playing a game and then have a link on there to join someone that's actually playing a game. Or you can basically create save states sort of with your different games so you can actually share those out as well, which is kind of cool. They have, you know, it's basically going to allow you to jump into a game without having to download anything. They are showing off, you know, being able to kind of, you know, go from your PC to your TV to tablets. They aren't going to have this dedicated controller that looks kind of like a Nintendo Switch Pro controller, but a little bit like Ouya as well.
It's kind of like all the existing controllers mushed together type of thing.
Yeah.
It's a very, when I saw the controller, I was like, this looks extremely unoriginal, but that's actually not a dig on Google. Like, I don't want you guys thinking I'm like here to hate on this.
You don't
thing,
really
so
need
don't,
to improve too much on.
Yeah. I was just like, okay, this is what I would expect in gaming today. This is a par for the course controller.
Yes, exactly. And they're saying that theirs is different because it connects directly with Wi-Fi and it's supposed to lower latency that way. So we'll have to see how that actually works out. Right now, though, they didn't give too much of a hint of what they're doing. They did, you know, show that Jade Raymond's going to be doing games using it for their they actually have their own first party company that's going to be doing games now.
We have no idea what the game is.
No idea, but
Being that this is Game Developers Conference, it is logical that they would be focusing more on the platform, the delivery, the canvas, I suppose, and then we'll see the paintings at E3 or a different time. So I'm not like,
yeah,
I know there was a lot of talk out there about why did they bring her out? They got nothing to show, but it's maybe GDC is not usually the time to announce games. Although there have been exceptions to the rule, right? PlayStation Move was announced at GDC, but again, that's also like a more like a platform, a delivery, a canvas, if you will, not a game. So
I would be now what they didn't talk about, which I think would be pretty cool if they could do this, because you know, really one of the things that we run into with VR, for example, is having hardware powerful enough to be able to run it. So if they're talking, you know, assuming that they can actually push 8K at 120 later on in the future, I mean, that might be something worthwhile for, like, VR, because then you could have, you know, VR headset that's basically just a receiver and everything's being done in the cloud and you can stream these really powerful games to it. But once again, that has to do with your network infrastructure. And let's be honest, that ain't all that great in the United States. So I like where they said that they only need 30 megabits down to be able to run games at 4K in 60 frames per second. But I would need to actually see this thing running and be able to check it out. So hopefully when they do announce price and all that stuff, which apparently is going to happen in the summer at their own separate event where they talk about games and everything that come out to it, then I guess we'll have to wait and see. But you know, some of the games they talked about coming to it, obviously Doom. They were showing off Assassin's Creed
Odyssey, yeah.
Which, you know, that was the part of the Project Stream test thing.
Which apparently, by the way, for people that I know that were doing that and participating in that, said it looked really good. I didn't see it myself. You know, so it's hard for me to know. I think it's one of those things you kind of have to see yourself to really believe in it. But I do feel like people that participated in that, in general, were big believers in what Google was delivering at this conference. Whereas people who hadn't had their hands on it, admittedly myself, were a little more in the skeptical, like, I don't know. You know that Google just has that server behind the stage, and it's not really, which by the way is the case. Like, there's not, it's not actually beaming over the internet from another, you know, location in another city. Like, it's on site, and they do this at E3 with these types of streaming things all the time. But I get it. This is a concept. It's not like it's releasing tomorrow, so I'm not going to, like, judge it harshly. And it is benefited a little bit by the fact that, you know, people that I do know that did play the Project Stream thing walked away from it with a pretty,
like,
favorable impression.
You know, and to my thing, though, with it is, like, everyone's saying, oh, well, this is going to kill consoles and stuff. I don't think so, because once, you know, first off, you have the issue where it's, you know, your network infrastructure has to be able to, and bandwidth caps for that, have to be able to withstand something like this, for one. And two, they have to have the games you actually want to play on it. Like, cool, it has Assassin's Creed and Doom. So do these other consoles. So does my PC. It's like, why do I need yet another service to play the same fucking game? I don't need it. I need to see what they're going to, you know, offer on this platform that I can't get on these other platforms. I can get it this and a bunch of other things, and it makes it more convenient for me. Because honestly, that's what's going to come down to. I don't care what your tech is. You just have to show me that it's going to work and that it has stuff that I actually am interested in.
And it might be a thing you kind of have to try for yourself. But at the same time, if it's as easy as click here in your Google Chrome browser and bam, game. I mean, this is not exactly something they're going to have to figure out. How do we get it in Best Buy's and GameStop? Like, they should hypothetically be able to have like a 10-minute demo or something that you can just click a button and bam, you're going. Right?
Yeah.
So it should be easy to make us believers, I suppose. Okay, so my thoughts on this, and I want to know your guys' thoughts too in our chat, and I see some popping in already, and definitely, Jamie, if you have thoughts on this thing as well. My thought on this is that I do think this is the future of gaming. I think that's the reality. I think here's the deal. Broadly, this is the future of gaming. Specifically, I'm not sure this is the future of gaming. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Here,
immediate versus long-term.
Well,
maybe.
Google versus the industry, if that makes sense, is that I'm not sure. And this isn't like a Google hate or anything like that. Although, I'm going to say it, Google has a track record of kind of closing things maybe before they really, you know, what Google Plus is sunsetting next month. But okay, fine. That never really caught on. Google Inbox is going away, which I thought, you know, I was using that for a little bit and I thought it was kind of neat. It was just a different way, but I guess not enough people were doing it.
They have like Google Reader or something like that.
Google Wave, Google Reader. That was a big one that I still miss. I really wish that was around and so on and so on. I mean, you know, okay, so Stadia and gaming, it's a different thing, but you can't help but kind of look at that and go, Here's another big concern I have, and I'm actually going to read a chat comment on this because I think he summed it up very well, and that's SSGA 100 Matt in our chat said, it frightens me that this is being powered by YouTube. They're making it so that creators can have fans join games live. Google has a horrible track record in moderation in terms of YouTube. I understand the power of moderation will be in the hands of the creator, but the YouTube community is notoriously toxic at times. That is one of my top three
concerns. But I don't think that's necessarily what they were talking about as far as that goes. It's more of like that you can share out. They were giving just examples, and obviously they're going to name their own services if they're giving examples, but they're basically saying, like, as a streamer, and they don't even have to do it through Google, you can have a hyperlink, basically, that you could put in the description for your show, podcast, live stream, whatever you're doing, where they would be able to jump into the instance that you're in as well to be able to play with you if they wanted to, or you can send them a link to play this game online, or like, hey, I got stuck here, I'm gonna put you in the same scenario. It's like a save state, basically, that I can have my show me how you would get out of this or something. Or like, hey, you know, we're gonna set up this Minecraft instance and you set it up and now show me what you're gonna build with these like blocks or something like that.
That could be neat. Like, I'm gonna say, like, in theory, I do have some concerns about it being tied to YouTube. I hope, due to antitrust concerns, especially because we've seen what's happening in Europe where they're getting smacked down, I do hope that this will actually be open. I hope it's more of a case of what you're saying, where like YouTube is the example, but in reality, it'll be open to Twitch, it'll be open to Mixer and things like that. After all, on your Xbox One, you aren't locked into Mixer. That's the one that kind of pushed, but you can do Twitch.
But the thing I did like, though, that they were talking about with the game streaming and stuff, is this is opening up game streaming for other people that may not have the hardware to be able to do that. Because what they're saying with this is when you basically can hit a button to stream your gameplay, whatever, it's not taking your actual gameplay. It's taking what it's viewing in the cloud. So it's being streamed at 4K and 60 frames per second. So whereas I don't have hardware on my laptop to be able to do that, I could play this game in Stadia and be able to stream it out, and it would be in the highest possible quality that you can get.
Now, here's what I mean about the industry. This is where the industry is going, and I'm not sure this is it, but this is definitely a good, like, tea leaves of the future. Actually, one thing I want to address real quick, because a lot of people are calling this OnLive, right? They're saying, oh, OnLive did this a long time ago. You know why OnLive failed? Here's why OnLive failed. Like, straight up. OnLive failed. It wasn't, like, the fact that it was streaming and all this stuff. It was the fact that they wanted to charge you the same price for a retail game to own it in the cloud, essentially, and not have anything physical for that, with no answer as to what would happen when the whole thing went away. Like, you're paying $60, and I believe OnLive had a monthly fee. Am I not correct? I believe that was the case, because I think they got hazed for it. OnLive had a monthly fee and still wanted to charge $50-$60 a game so you could play it digitally, hopefully, you know, and obviously now they're long gone. I think it is obvious. Who knows? Maybe I'll be proved wrong. I think it is obvious Stadia is intended to be subscription-based. Stadia wants to be Netflix for games, end of sentence. I don't think there's going to be more money and more things that are in this. And you might wonder how studios are going to be able to make money. And so, well, I mean,
I don't know. I still think
Netflix is like, do you guys know how?
I still think that they're going to sell actual games with it.
They might for like premium things. I don't think it'll be successful if they do. Does Netflix sell movies on top of what they're doing now? What would happen if they did that? I don't think it would do well. I really don't.
I don't know, but I mean, doesn't mean that they're not going to try.
Yeah. So, anyways, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the near future when other people jump into the fray. But anyway, let's see. Other comments in chat. SSG100 Matt says, I think that content creators struggling to gain viewership will be forced into having their gameplay open to viewers. Sure, they can make their gameplays closed, but if they want to differentiate themselves between other streamers and creators, they will be forced to keep up with the Joneses by having their streams open. Pixel Paca says they talked about the Stadia store as a means to sell games. Okay, personally, if that is the case, and I misunderstood something I'm seeing, or I missed that part of it, if that's the case, that they're going to, like, sell, I don't think this thing will work. I don't think the industry's ready for it. I think we're back where we were with Xbox One and them wanting to do as much digital as they did in the first announcement.
Going to go the way of the glass?
I think so. I think it will. Well, Jamie, I haven't really heard your thoughts on this, and I don't know if you've thought a lot about it, but what do you think of this whole, like, streaming-only sensation?
I don't base my judgment off of the initial statements. You know me. That's just not how I work.
You want to see the damn game.
I have to see it in motion.
You want to see the damn game.
Exactly.
Honestly, fair. It's fair.
I've learned not to judge things on the hype or on other people's opinions just because, you know, how long did I say, oh, I'm not going to like Mass Effect. I'm not going to like Mass Effect. And what game do I super love? Mass Effect. How long did I go, oh, yeah, this particular thing is going to be really awesome. Everyone says it's going to be great. And then I play it and I'm like, this is kind of shit, you know, but other people love it. My own opinions can't be affected by what other people are saying about it. I have to experience it for myself.
Sure. So. Now, we do know that existing games will be on the platform because we know about Assassin's Creed and all this stuff. So let's say it is something that's up your alley. Like, I don't know, Tekken 7. I don't just make believe with me here. Mm. Or Tekken 3, better yet.
Yeah. Let's say which was the best of the series.
Let's say they've got a nice retro collection. And you know what? Something like that
Tekken
could win
3
me over
in, HD.
Something like that could win me over in a heartbeat. If Google was like, we have like Stadia Retro that has all these Atari classics on demand and PlayStation. Obviously wouldn't have PlayStation classics, but make believe with me here. Classic games on demand. I would kind of go, okay, you got my attention, right? Like, but anyway, that stuff aside, what about just the concept of you're not going to have a cartridge or a disc to play Tekken whatever's. You're going to just go on to Google Chrome and click go and rely on the stream to do it.
I also don't want to rely on Chrome. So there's that too. I mean, I'll be perfectly honest. I have one computer that Chrome runs really well on, and that is still kind of iffy. I do most of my stuff on a Mac. Chrome kind of doesn't run all that great on a Mac, and this I can tell you from the back end of it. It does not run great on a Mac.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to be tied to
Again, you have to see it for yourself on said Mac before you know.
That's exactly. And if anyone wants to talk to me about the back end stuff on it, I'd be happy to talk offline. But it just doesn't, it runs very inefficiently on a Mac.
Okay.
And so I'm afraid that with all of the inefficiencies with have it running, like for example, every tab that you open opens like three extra processes on the back end, which will slow down. So imagine you're running extra tabs or you've got all these processes running and then you're trying to stream on top of it. That to me is looking like a disaster because, again, Google does not program efficiently for this OS. And I'll be perfectly honest, it's not super efficient on a PC either if you look at what runs in your task manager.
Okay, I want to read this comment, and it's really funny because he just pasted it again to make sure I see it. And no, I was gonna get to this comment a minute ago, but then I ended up on a tangent, as sometimes happens. But this is a great comment because I was talking about the industry versus Google. Here's VG Realness's comment in chat. I also think that it's only a matter of time before Microsoft drops the bomb on Game Pass for PC with a massive library. So it will be hard for Google to catch up. Sony could make PlayStation Now available on PC as well to combat this. So it comes down to the available library.
Hell yes, and then I'll have all my games on one place. That's what I really want.
And yes, that is why I say this is where the industry's going. Not necessarily PC, but maybe, although we know Sony loves their proprietary shit, right? But here's, in my opinion...
Oh, God, what memory sticks do I have to buy now?
In my opinion, expect this shit to be built into the next Xbox and the next PlayStation. Guaranteed. And I'm not saying it's going to be the only thing. I'm not saying it's going to be like that they're going to completely walk away from discs. They might. I don't know. We'll find out. And I don't think necessarily like PlayStation 5 is Sony's version of Stadia. But you can absolutely expect something like this will probably be a feature, a part, a component of the next consoles. Fuck, we've already heard Microsoft. Haven't they talked before? And correct me if I'm wrong. Somebody in chat, somebody in studio. Hasn't Microsoft already talked about like a game that would play on the disc like a normal game, but it would be enhanced by the cloud, by an internet connection?
Yeah, Crackdown 3.
Okay, so that was does it actually do that?
Yeah, it does for the multiplayer, and it's all right. They have destruction in the game, but like I can't help but think that it looks better even in Battlefield. They've done this like real-time destruction stuff in Battlefield, and it's just kind of a pointless game mode. It was supposed to be like, oh, you can destroy any of the buildings in this game, but I don't know. It's just, it's kind of not all that great. It's not compelling enough for me to play the multiplayer in there. Because, yeah, cool, you can break things, but the multiplayer sucks. Like not the co-op, but like the multiplayer versus sucks. So it's like, I don't give a shit they can break stuff because it's just a boring game. I don't want to play this.
Right, right. So, I mean, one other thing we got to get into, because this is a very legitimate concern people are having about Google Stadia, is the bandwidth situation. What did they say for this? 4K, 60 frames a second was going to be what? 30 gigs
an hour. Down.
So a lot of us are capped at 1 terabyte on our internet. And I kind of tried to get to this on Twitter, and some of the replies I got was, well, my internet's unlimited. And I'm like, that's great for you. And it is, and Google Stadia will be great for you and your house. But the problem is, if you're going to catch on everywhere, which Google's, you know, a big initiative like this needs to catch on everywhere, then we do have to take some things like, what is this going to look like for bandwidth caps into consideration? Because I don't know about you guys, but like, I already use like a lot of internet around here. I mean, shit, we're doing this show right now, right? I stream a lot. Alan streams a lot, you know, and it's just, we're almost consuming more and more. I kind of wish Google would use some of their leverage as a powerhouse in tech to kind of force the hand of cable companies to help these data caps go up. I kind of think my gut kind of says these data caps will go up eventually.
I think what's going to end up happening is,
say real quick, they've already gone up. We were just at 250 gigs, not even what, 5 years ago. So the industry has already bumped this up due to pressure to bump it up to it. So it's not like it can't get bumped up again, but I just feel like this may need to happen a little sooner before Stadia. You know, some people are going to have some real concerns about it. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just going to say, I don't think that they're going to have bandwidth caps for much longer. Eventually they'll go through Congress or the FCC and stuff, and we'll eventually, once we uncapture it, we'll be able to pass legislation to make that stuff unlawful. You know, with the whole net neutrality stuff, probably pushing that back through again. But I think they're going to have to get rid of it anyways, because eventually it's just going to get faster and faster. And obviously they're keeping it there just as a monetization means.
Well, and I've said this on a show before. I think what's going to happen in the next couple of years is that cable is going to have a real competitor in places where there aren't options. Like here in this specific place where I live in the Sacramento area, we only have one option. And I know other people in Sacramento that have more than one option. But unfortunately, where I'm at, just one option for internet. But what's going to happen, you know, because I think there's a lot of people in places where there's only one, maybe two choices for internet. What's going to happen? 5G getting adopted more and more and more. And look how fast tech is moving now. In just a few years, I think 5G and over air, and that is going to be the real competitor to cable. You want to jump in, Jamie?
Are they going to use this to push Google Fiber?
Yeah, you would think.
Google Fiber's kind of failed in a lot of places, though, because
really?
Yeah. But they've used this as a promotion point.
You would think that Google could use like their own internet and this stuff, but you're right. Like, wasn't Google supposed to be in every city by now?
No, because I was even reading some online today. They're showing like some of the Google Fiber stuff where the plan was to just basically bury it a few inches below the ground and cover it with like asphalt or something like that near roadways or whatever, just kind of do it faster.
Yeah, some folks in chat are saying that Google Fiber is essentially dead. Bobby says they got legislated out. Gigi Rama says they're not expanding it.
Yeah, which is too bad.
Well, unfortunately, add that to the list of failed Google projects.
Well, and we have Verizon 5G in like the middle of Sacramento right now. I just wish it would come out further, because I do have Verizon.
But Logie, it will eventually.
Yeah, but when's eventually? 2020, 2021?
Think of where our cell phones were at when OLR started. I had that hideous flip phone thing, right? That's what I had. And look how far we've come in this. I mean, granted, we've been doing this show 17 years. It's a while. But we've come all the way from that crappy little flip phone to what? Edge, 3G, 4G, right? So it's just a matter of time before, you know, we get to a 5G era where it's everywhere. But you're right. How soon? And is the fact that 5G is not going to be available in X percent of the nation right away, is that going to hinder Stadia's
Availability?
Success rate, I guess.
Yeah.
Although, granted, that makes it sound like I'm saying, oh, Stadia is only available on 5G.
Well, here's the thing.
It's
like, I don't know that all... I think, you know, for other consoles, like, for everybody to jump in on this is not necessarily a good idea. May we forget that not literally a few years ago, everyone's like, you know what's going to be the big thing in the future? 3D in your household. It's like it's pictures, but they're coming out at your face. And everyone jumped in full bore into 3D. And where the fuck did that go? Nowhere, because it flopped.
Virtual reality.
Yeah, but that's kind of, virtual reality.
It's a different thing.
Different. But like,
but when you say 3D, I'm like, it just kind of shifted a little bit.
But what I'm saying, though, is like people jump on board. Like companies,
they don't make 3D TVs. Well, I mean, not nearly like they were trying to do like 3 years ago. They don't make it that.
Yeah, the companies jump on board like with this stuff to try to push this new tech. But like, if the infrastructure is not there to support it, it's kind of a waste of time. Maybe just make a nice console and stick with that. Do we really need to be planning for like 20 years in the future? You're going to have like two or three consoles by then. I mean, let's just one step at a time here. Make better games.
Anyway, I think what ultimately becomes a Google Stadia, you know, I'm interested to try it for myself, but I just, you know, the cost is going to be a big thing. And if they're going to say, oh, you got to pay a monthly fee and you got to pay like $30 a game, or even if you got to pay like $30 a game, but I don't like, I don't know how I'm going to feel about that when it's like, oh, but I got to be thinking about my cable bill too. I don't know. I've got to, like, I think I'm going back to kind of where Jamie's at, where like, I really have to see it for myself and not in a controlled environment, in a real environment, to really be able to make that decision. But if Google's going to make first-party games with all-stars like Jade Raymond, who knows what they're capable of making, where they might have a game where it's like, shit, I got to play that.
Yeah.
You know, but I can't, like, if it's something that I would play as much of as, like, World of Warcraft, I don't have the freaking bandwidth for that. So that's got to be addressed. I don't know. I'm more curious about some of the things that VG Realness was saying, how the rest of the industry is going to respond to it. Because, again, I do kind of think this is where industry is going. I do want to address the physical thing real quick and why I didn't call out Nintendo either. So I think physical, there may still always kind of be a place for that. It's harder to tell with games because, you know, you look at music. Music has really shifted to things like Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, right? That's a lot of where music is in that streaming area right now. But you could still get a CD. You can still get, I mean, you can't exactly walk into Best Buy and get one anymore, but they're collectibles oftentimes.
Not always necessarily in other countries too as well. CDs are the predominant way of getting your music instead of streaming, like in Japan, for real.
That's also a damn good point when we talk about things like Stadia, mm-hmm. is like, how adopted is something like Stadia going to be in Brazil? You know, which, you know, and I pick on that. Because isn't that the country where things like the Mega Drive and the Genesis were still big years later on? Because the stuff that, you know, we might be playing in the States was impossibly high to import in a country like Brazil. So I'm kind of curious, you know, obviously there's gamers in Brazil. Are they going to be able to play Stadia like this? I don't know. But anyway.
Coming out in all regions, too.
I guess that's true. That's probably not something they're going to target right away, but I guess neither do a lot of gaming companies officially. Movies within the past few years have really made a shift to things like Netflix, Hulu, and more to come. We know Apple is likely doing something in the next couple weeks involving streaming. Disney is certainly doing a streaming thing. We know that. And so this whole like streaming solution for film, TV, movie, that's just getting bigger and bigger. But it's not like Blu-rays are dead. People still buy them. Why? It's collectibles, right? Or things to watch on the go on an airplane, right? But I can't. When was the last time you brought a Blu-ray? Because I don't remember. I don't remember last time
I haven't bought a Blu-ray. The last Blu-ray I bought was part of a Kickstarter, and that was for, and I didn't even really need it. It was for Kung Fury. Because like, oh yeah, I want that on Blu-ray so I can watch as much as I want. Come to find out, the Blu-ray got delayed for so long that like I've already watched this movie like 80 times online. Oh, hey, there's a Blu-ray now. I'll just put this in a pile of stuff I'm going to forget about.
Here's why I don't think the gaming industry will be completely detached from physical games. It's the same reason why I didn't name Nintendo earlier. I don't think they're... Why would they do this? I don't think Nintendo has any plans to do anything.
Why try to figure out what the future is when you can just do what works?
And Nintendo's big business is portable. Sure, the Switch is docked, but it's also makes a lot of bread and butter by the fact that it's portable. And, you know, although maybe soon, maybe in 5-10 years, we'll be in a 5G world where maybe I'll want to evaluate this statement, I think we all agree that Nintendo would be the last company to move to something like this. And I think Nintendo also understands. You're sitting on a joke over there. I know it.
They can't even get a storefront working, let alone, you know, game streaming service. Let's not scare Nintendo into doing something they're not prepared for.
Blaster Master 02 just fine. Their storefront's fine. Anyway, here's the thing. With Nintendo, and I think Nintendo understands the value of IP, their collectibles, their characters, where I think a lot of the movies and music industry kind of make their money right now, selling shirts, selling posters, selling collectibles, and even the game industry is kind of moving in that direction, which I talked a little bit on Bobby's show at the end in the call. Like, if you go to a Target, you start finding loot boxes for games that don't have the game in them. It's just a bunch of, like, collectibles. But anyway, I think Nintendo can still hang on to that stuff for a long time. So I just feel like, I think we all have a general understanding that Nintendo would be the last company to adopt something like this, and I don't think they would be in any rush to do so, and why should they?
They're not, because they're successful, and I think it's just these other companies that are going to try to figure out what the next big thing is. And
right.
I don't think we even know. They're just pushing it. They're just trying to tell you this is what the next thing is, but we don't know until we get there, because I don't know. Well, let's see what happens, okay? Let's see how well the service runs and what's even available in it. Because if it sucks, then it's going to fail. That's what it's just going to be.
Let's see. Other comments in chat. Bobby Blackwell says, I buy 4K Blu-rays because you can't rent them via Netflix DVD or Redbox. And I know that like Netflix does some 4K, but it's kind of limited, right? Like, their originals are all in 4K, but usually the stuff that's like licensed on Netflix,
I can never tell.
A lot of that is in 4K.
I can never tell because it usually upscales some of that stuff on my TV, so like I can't really tell sometimes if it's in 4K or if it's just 1080. But yeah, I mean, 4K looks nice. I would get the ultra 4K stuff for watching them on my TV, but oh darn, that PlayStation Pro, it doesn't play 4K content via the Blu-ray drive. Thanks, Sony. Thank you, Sony. I appreciate that so much.
But we also know that this conversation about the future of gaming is not going to be had on the PlayStation 4. The PlayStation 4 is kind of in its, I don't want to say it's sunsetting, but it's in its, we all know that it's the PlayStation 5 is on the horizon. It's more like the sun is rising on PlayStation 5. It's just a matter of time. And this is where we'll have these conversations. But the PlayStation 4 is not where these conversations are going to be had. Anyway.
Or where I could just get an Xbox, you know, 1S. And a 1S. Not the X, but the S. And that can do that shit just fine. Oh, but Sony, fuck them. They just wanted to save some money on that Blu-ray drive.
Dr. T in chat says, I was just telling someone on Twitter, that's why I love Nintendo. They don't really do any of the loot boxes / microtransaction stuff. They did do some DLC, but at least it's always been good. And how long did it take Nintendo to finally come to the table with DLC? But you're right. It's all been very good.
But that's the thing, though.
They don't sell crappy DLC.
They're like
10
years behind in trends as far as online goes. Remember back when, you know, we used to get like decent expansion packs and DLC for games? We used to have that, but now we have this bullshit. Just give them 10 years, and they'll be in straight in bullshit again.
I feel like, though, we live in an industry that will forgive Nintendo time and time again because Nintendo makes those IPs you got to have. It's kind of like Disney coming to the table really late on streaming. We all still know it's going to be a big fucking deal because it's Disney. Right. And they got the Star Wars and they got their what they just said, all of their classics. There is no longer a Disney vault because all of their classics will be on the streaming thing and that whole thing. Like that's a big deal. So even though it took Disney forever to come to this table compared to Netflix and Hulu and so forth, the industry's kind of ready for it. And I think in some ways, a lot of those same rules apply to Nintendo. They can get away with it for a long time. The only time I think Nintendo didn't get away with it was when they made a huge mistake of naming one of their consoles something as atrocious as Wii U and not being able to explain that to their audience. And I'm telling, I will still stand by that. The Wii U failed because of its name, period.
Yeah, sure.
On that note, we'll move on. Let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we've been playing this week, whether it was on the Wii U or not. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
It was pretty good. Of course, some of my gaming week did include the GDC Unparty. And so what I played, I finally found the...
Wait a minute. Back up. Because you actually went to GDC, sort of.
Not into the convention, but I went to the party.
Yeah,
well, two of the parties.
That's still you were
just for some networking.
You were in the area. What, yeah. How was that? Tell us a little bit about your experience there.
Well, the unknowns were GDC
sure.
for Pokemon Go. I didn't catch a C, but I caught another D and another G because I got the D.
Well, you know what's sad is that
this
I would
not sitting properly on my head.
I would you got a lot of compliments on the hat in chat though.
Thank you, Target.
The problem with GDC. Guess what? Guess what letters I already have? Dragon. Con. So DRAGONC. I have all the letters already because of Dragon Con.
I need another C then.
I can trade you a C. I've got unknown out the unknown right now, okay? I'll trade you one. It's fine.
But at any rate, the Unparty was okay. It's like the whole thing was supposed to be a quiet thing. And so they would have this wave go through it. It would get quiet for 2 seconds and it would be unbearably loud because it was in a freaking warehouse. So, I mean, I had a good time. It was really nice. And they got us pizza. I haven't had Papa John's since I was in college.
Pizza's awesome.
Even Papa John's pizza's okay.
I was like, I don't know.
But he's not the CEO anymore, so.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if that's, all that stuff aside, which I really, you know.
I'm not going to say no to free pizza that I pay.
Yeah, I can't follow that anymore, but that's not exactly the pizza chain I get up and cheer for.
But like they said, there's going to be tea, and it was bring your own tea, so there was hot water.
So
it was nice. It was a good place. So I'm not complaining.
Instead, Dark Sakura walked up and said, okay, well, let's talk some shit. You want to talk some shit? Let's talk some shit.
No. But anyway, I saw two games there that were on demo, and one of them was called Hyper Dot, which if you go to hyperdotgame.com, you can see. And really, the point is to dodge everything. You have 100 trials that you go through in your campaign mode, and you have to, there's even a multiplayer mode, and you can do custom challenges, but basically you're a little green dot avoiding all these blocks. And I don't know, maybe it got a little bit of inspiration from Undertale, maybe, the boss battles in Undertale. But at any rate, it's a neat little game. It actually reminded me of that game I love, Fractal, and just its style. So really neat. Check it out, guys. And then I spoke to guy who's behind Zephyr Fox Games, and I'm so sad. I have his name on a business card, and I left the business card at home. But he actually is local, so I said we should, you know, I talked to him about getting him in that spot so he can hide Pikachu. He's a really cool guy, too. But he's working on a game actually in Unity called Space Uber. And he actually showed me like two different demos, and one of them is going in your spaceship and fixing it up and hacking into stuff on it, you know. And then the other one is actually where you pick up passengers in space, but at the same time you have to dodge mines in space. And then he said, like, as you go later on, you can pick up other vehicles like you find in space. You have to hack into them, or you find different creative ways to get the machine started, to get the ship started. I just remembered it because the name of his ship in the demo was the Lopi Bovine, and it was just really, really kind of funny. But I did take some video of it, and once I get it edited down, we can do it during, like, you know, a mid-break thing. Yeah. But it was a really neat little game. And actually, if you go to ZephyrFoxGames.com, his most recent update on March 5th actually shows some of the gameplay of Space Uber. And it's just a neat little game. You know, the for me now, I will warn you, it made me super motion sick. I could not play or control it because my motion sickness got way set off. But the guy next to me had no problem with it. So, you know, everyone knows I got crazy motion sickness. When I told him that I couldn't play GoldenEye, he's like, oh. So it's like that. So, but it's a really, really, and he's doing it in Unity and he's done some amazing stuff with it already. So, I'd say check both of them out. So, Zephyr, Zephyr Fox Games. And then the other one was hyper.game.com. So.
All right. Well, I'm sure they appreciate those plugs.
And, I play a lot of pinball, like I do. I'm playing Pokemon Go. I played Ingress. I used up all my stupid bursters at work, thinking I could take it down. Now I have no bursters. Thanks, Rob.
Why are you thanking me?
Because you should give me more bursters.
I'll give you more bursters. It's fine. I got a ton of them yesterday, so it's fine.
All right. At any rate, I'm also still playing Idle Pouring because of stupid addictive reasons. And I started playing Pocket Camp again, which reminds me I should probably open up Pocket Camp and get stuff.
All
but
right.
I didn't do it yesterday, so whatever.
Well then, while you do that, we'll go on over to Loki and check out Loki's Gaming Week.
I didn't play a whole lot this week. I mainly played just Pokemon Go while I'm doing other things. So I always turn it on so that it automatically plays while I'm out and about. So that's what I did. Played that, and then I played a little... Was it H2 Overdrive? The arcade, the Hydro Thunder sequel.
Yeah, H2 Overdrive is a sequel.
Yeah, so we played a little bit of that today. Yeah, that's about it, unfortunately. Didn't get to play a lot. Oh, a little bit of DDR, but I didn't stream a ton of it. I'm probably going to try to stream some more this week, though. I wanted to stream a lot more last week, but... just didn't work out because I had to cook things, and I always have to cook things when I get home. But this week, I didn't prepare for crap, so I don't have any meals to cook this week, so it'll be perfect.
All right. So look forward to that on your Twitch channel.
Yes.
My Game of the Week actually was kind of like a not a lot of – I didn't really get into like new stuff. So here's the weird thing about Game of the Week. I still was playing quite a bit of like Pokemon Go as well. I hate that – like I feel like we're like the Pokemon Go talk channel or whatever, but I did play a bit for Community Day because Community Day was yesterday.
Yeah, 3 to 6.
Yeah, it was 3 to 6. Well, the funny thing was, okay, so that morning I was playing Ingress because there was things that we were getting together and doing in Ingress. That's all I'm really going to say about that. We're having fun. Social event, we'll say that. And then with Pokemon Go in the afternoon, I kind of went right into that. And so we went downtown, and by that point I was already kind of sick of staring at my phone. So I was like, all right, I'll just kind of play. So the very first Treecko I tapped on, shiny. And then we get to the park, get another shiny pretty quick in about 5 minutes. I get a third shiny by the time we walk over to the Rose Garden. So we're 15 minutes in. I have 3 shinies. And so I was like, all right, I got what I need. So I kind of close my phone, put it in my pocket, and I turn on my Bluetooth catcher. And I was just like, I'm just going to catch with Bluetooth, whatever. So we just kind of – we walked around. I was more into the walking. I've been trying to get more in tune with fitness and things like that lately. So I was more into the walking and you know, seeing what Alan was up to and cheering him on and so forth. By the time it was done, and we kind of went to go eat at one point. We just really took it easy. Even though we were still down in the Capitol, we went to – you know, it's kind of where we always go is the Capitol Park. I had 11 shinies by the time it was done.
I got none.
What? I'll give you one.
No, I don't need it. You sure? Care.
Loki, I have 11. Take a goddamn shiny.
Fine.
All right.
A shiny what?
A Treecko.
I'll take one.
Okay, there you go. If you don't take it, I can do one a day because they're special trades. So, so I have like 11. What am I going to do with that many? I don't know. But okay,
recycle them.
Yes, obviously other people don't have such great luck, but I always say that's what, like, I have 1 million Cyndaquil. I have 1 million, you know, some of the others. Now, some I didn't get so lucky on, like Charmander. I only have like the 3. Bulbasaur, I was out of town when that happened, so I only have 2, so I don't really have enough of those. But, you know, some of them I just barely skip by with 3 or 4. But, like, yeah, what am I going to do with 11 shinies? And I always say, oh, I'll trade the extra ones, and it's like I never – it's like all those unknowns I'm sitting on. I think being limited to one special trade a day kind of sucks because I can't really unload those as fast as I want to. So anyway, Hack Deft asks, how many did Shane get? I don't know. Sometimes he's listening or watching. So if he's out there, maybe he'll reveal himself and tell you. It was more than me. I think he said His husband got 12, and I think he said he got 15. He'll correct me if I'm wrong. But, yeah. So, anyway, but here's the other thing. So, I did play a console. Here's the crazy thing. So, you know, I kind of got into Skyrim VR last week. So, I played a little more of that.
Yeah.
And then I kind of got to the point where I'm like, okay, this is fun and all, but I'm like, I don't know if I want to keep playing this in VR. I want to go back to the PC. You know, I haven't seen Skyrim on the PC in a long time, and I have a 4K monitor now, and I don't even have the Skyrim Special Edition, but I got like an HD texture pack at some point. I don't know. So I started playing Skyrim on the PC again.
Well, the Special Edition, I think, didn't they give that to you for free if you had bought
it? If you had all the expansions, which I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
So no, they didn't give it to me for free. They gave it to Alan for free because he had all the expansions, but he had already played it a lot more. So I spent a lot of gaming time this week playing Skyrim because I'll tell you what, in 4K, even on the regular version.
Yeah, I don't play the HD version either because half the mods don't have them.
Well,
in there.
It's not. Yeah, I do use mods, especially like inventory mods. I don't mod heavy it like you do, but like I do run a few mods in the old one, but I also feel like maybe because it wasn't like optimized for like HD, I can actually play it in 4K because a lot of games, my video card isn't strong enough to actually support full 4K gameplay, but Skyrim is great and it's gorgeous. And so I've just been playing it on PC like, ooh. So I got, you know, enough through the story where I don't want to spoil the whole thing, but you know, there's dragons. So I fought the dragon. I got Lydia and the doing that thing where I got to go up to the top of the mountain. That's where I'm at right now. So I played a little bit. And then, of course, as I'm going up to the mountain, what happens? Ooh, cave. Ooh, giant. Ooh. You know, you get distracted with everything. And that's the Elder Scrolls experience, basically. So,
And now we're in Blackreach.
I've been spending a lot of my gaming week playing a game that's 8 years old, but whatever, right? Right? Skyrim was 2011, right? Oh, it's kind of a...
Speaks to the longevity of game design.
Oh, no, for sure. For sure. I mean, hell, Skyrim just came out on Switch, what, a year ago? So, I mean... You know, there's still a lot of longevity in that game, but I am definitely looking forward to Elder Scrolls 6 as well, that's for sure. So, anyway, that was my game of the week, mobile phone games and Skyrim. All right, we're going to get into some gaming news here. Let me just quickly say, though, follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/OrangeLoungeRadio. And, the next show we will not be here is Memorial Day weekend, but that's a long ways off. So let's talk about some gaming news for now. Loki.
So they had this Nindies Nintendo Direct this week, and they announced a bunch of games that are coming out on the Switch, and some even were released that same day because that's something that they like to do. So starting in order of when they're coming out, Blaster Master Zero Part 2 or Number 2 is coming out, came out earlier, and I guess we'll see some of that later.
Yes, we're going to see some of that later in our break.
Nuclear Throne is coming to the Switch, so that was also released as well. And then in a few months here, they're going to be releasing Cuphead on the Switch, which was kind of interesting because that was pushed by Microsoft to try to put that there. So that's April 18th. Katana Zero is coming April 18th. I think that's from Devolver Digital. And... there's more Vlambeer games. So Super Crate Box also coming out in April. And Ultra Bugs is another thing that they have coming out. There's a game called Darkwood, which is also coming to the Switch in May. My Friend Pedro is also coming out in June. And then they have this one, which was kind of a really surprise here. So from the makers of Crypt of the NecroDancer, they have a game called Cadence of Hyrule. Cadence of Hyrule. And it's basically Crypt of the NecroDancer in Hyrule. So that's...
It looks like a mod for Crypt of the NecroDancer is what it looks like. But it's not a slam. I think a lot of people were like, whoa, cool. And I'm into it too.
What other games they have? Neo Cab, which is going to be coming out this summer. There's this game from Double Fine called Rad. It's an isometric 3D action RPG. And then they've got a game called Swim Sanity. Blood Roots, Creature in the Well, which looked kind of cool. This was a game that was like a pinball action game. So the whole game is played like pinball almost, but it looked pretty cool. They have the Stranger Things retro game that's coming out on July 4th, the same time as Season 3, which right. we got a trailer for this week as well. Pine, Overland, and a game called The Red Lantern, which is about a woman getting stranded in Alaska with her sled dogs.
Now, did you mention Cuphead?
Yes.
Okay, I must have missed when you brought that up. Okay, that Cuphead thing. Okay, hold up, though, because Cuphead, I mean, that's obviously, you know, that's a game that's going to be great for the Switch, but it also means that a lot of those Microsoft Nintendo things that have been rumors in previous episodes, hold up, it's happening, .gif, right? Because yeah. Cuphead is coming to the Switch, which may indicate that some of these other things we've been hearing about could happen as well, namely Ori and the Blind Forest and some of these other, you know, Microsoft things, which is funny because I saw people on Twitter going, I predict that Ori and the Blind Forest is next. I'm like, yeah, because that's what all the rumors already said. Hello. But anyway, whatever. The fact that maybe Xbox Game Pass, which that was kind of the big one.
I don't know how that would work, though, but like,
how does Hulu work? You know, I don't know. We'll see.
But that's a little different than running on the actual hardware.
You're not going to detail. But, I mean, maybe like a streaming, like, you know.
Yeah, whenever they talk about their streaming thing.
Right.
Which we still haven't heard about. And maybe we'll hear about later this year. Who knows?
VG Realness in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, the budding Microsoft-Nintendo relationship is very interesting, isn't it? Which is also kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier about, you know, the future of gaming is that maybe.
Oh, my God. What if they join forces? You got Microsoft with the tech. You've got Nintendo with the games. They could defeat everybody.
I think there's a lot of fan wank that comes into situations like that. I mean, both of them are still in it to make profit, you know, for themselves. I don't think we're in a, you know, when people say Microsoft should just buy Nintendo, they forget how much money Nintendo has. And
they don't need to buy them. They just team up.
Yeah, I mean, a team up could be interesting, but I don't know how far that goes and I guess Nintendo gets, you know, some more things on their Switch platform, and maybe Microsoft has an agreement they're not going to address the portable market, and that's not something they're going into with, you know, the next Xbox. Nintendo probably knows, and this is fascinating to think about. Nintendo probably knows exactly what the next Xbox is. For a lot of this to happen, if we're going to go this far down, I mean, Cuphead on Switch is one thing, but if we're going to go this far down to talking about, you know, a true, like, alliance or whatever to dominate the gaming industry, if that's really where we're headed, then wouldn't it be logical to know that Nintendo already knows what Microsoft's working on, and for them to agree to this, they know it's not portable. And it's not something that's going to step on the toes of the Switch. Microsoft is not going to come out with an Xbox that pops off a dock and you can take with you. Nintendo would never have agreed to this whole thing if that's what Microsoft's doing.
We'll see.
Oh, it's kind of, I don't know, interesting to me. SSU100 Matt points out, this is messing with everyone's Apple and Nintendo fanfics that people have been writing for decades. It's in that same vein. It certainly is. Renji221 in chat says, something that wasn't brought up is Castle Crashers remastered on the Switch. That was a thing brought up this week.
But that was also on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One,
and
too.
It's also, like, with all respect to Castle Crashers, that game's pretty old at this point. I mean, I say that, and then I talk about how I played Skyrim all week. So, you know, an old game is still a good game. But I was just kind of like, I think I would have been more excited if it was a Castle Crashers sequel that was coming out to all these platforms and maybe the first game with it or something. You know, just the fact that it's that same game again. I'm not as excited about, but it's not like it was a bad game. So there is that for sure. Let's see. VG Realness says, both companies have what the other needs. Nintendo needs better hardware and network infrastructure. Microsoft needs stronger Japanese presence. Interesting. That's true. We didn't bring up the Japanese presence part, but that is a very good way for Microsoft to shove their foot in the door in Japan, is a Nintendo partnership. Fifth Dream Today says, people still think Microsoft will make a handheld. people think a lot of things. Go on to Reddit or Twitter. It's still out there, of course. So, anyway. We will see what develops. So, what did you think, though, quickly before I move on to the next story? Was there any of those nindies that really jumped out at you where you're like, oh, I got to get this?
Blaster Master 02 looks good. I still haven't played through Blaster Master 0, the first one. I have it. I purchased it, but I haven't played through it, so I need to probably do that. I don't know. That's about it, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really want to play through Cuphead again.
I might pick up Cuphead because I'm just it's such a good game and I might be a sucker for it, especially with the portability and all that.
Did you ever play through video? What was it, that old school musical yet?
Or you know what? No, I didn't.
You pick that up.
I really should. No, you're right. So many games that I need to catch up on. Yet here I am playing Skyrim from how long ago? I don't know.
It's all right. It'll keep sucking you back in for hundreds of hours at a time. That's money well spent, though.
All right. Let's get into our next story, which has to do with a rumor from the past that's kind of come true. Because this was one of those rumors based on ratings in another country. And sure enough, those are usually the ones where it's like, yeah, this is going to happen. So Konami put out information this week that they are, in celebration of their 50th anniversary, doing some different collections. And the first one is the Konami Anniversary Collection Arcade Classics. So it's going to have 8 arcade masterpieces, according to the list, from the 1980s. So here's what's in Konami's collection. They've announced the list here because this is out on April 18th, which is a pretty big deal. And this is coming out on all the platforms, right? I missed if it's Switch for sure, right? Was it PS4 and Xbox One as well? It's got to be. But it's digital, right? Because it's like $20.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure it's on all the major gaming platforms.
Yeah, anyway, it's PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC.
Okay, great. Oh, PC as well. Cool. All right. So anyway, in the arcade classics, Haunted Castle, which, if I'm not mistaken, was like Castlevania's kind of first game, right? Was Haunted Castle.
Probably.
Like an arcade game.
Yeah, it was.
Or was it? Or am I mixing it up with Vampire Killer?
No, Haunted Castle was Castlevania.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Typhoon. Or Ajax, which that one's not ringing a bell. I don't remember that one. Is that one that you recognize, Starstar? Typhoon? No, she's just shaking no. Nemesis, or...
Well, Nemesis, yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, of course. Nemesis is basically Gradius. Vulcan Venture, Gradius 2. Life Force, or Salamander. That one has me excited for sure. Thundercross, Scramble, and Twinbee. So those are the games that are going to be in the arcade collection, which is... That's kind of neat. So, oh, thank you, Dark Tetsuya. That's why it's throwing me off. Haunted Castle was the arcade. Vampire Killer was the MSX version. Okay, thank you. All right. Now, speaking of Vampire Killer and Castlevania, the other collection they announced, one of the other two, was a Castlevania Anniversary Collection for early summer 2019. There will be 8 games in this collection, too. We only know 4 of them. The original Castlevania for NES, Castlevania 3... Castlevania 2 Belmont's Revenge, that's the Game Boy one, not Simon's Quest, which is notably missing, at least so far, because there's also 4 games we don't know yet. And then Super Castlevania 4 is the other entry here. We don't know what the other 4 games are. We don't know if it's Simon Quest. We don't know if it's, you know, Symphony of the Night or some of the 3DS games or what. So it's to be determined still on what that could contain. But that could be interesting, especially for $20. And then lastly, a Contra Anniversary Collection. Now, I would think there's only so many games they can pick from this, because I don't think Contra's had as many games.
Oh, yeah, they have.
As Castlevania. Really? All right. If you say so.
And some weren't even Contras.
I get
originally.
Maybe that's what it is. And it's one of those things where it's like these games that were kind of like derivatives of Contra are probably going to be included. But the original list... is Contra the arcade version, not the NES version, but they really are the same thing. It's just the arcade version didn't have the 30 lives code. But I think Konami would be stupid not to put a throwback where you would just unlock 30 lives in the arcade version by putting in the Konami code. Super Contra, also the arcade version. Super C, which was the 1990 NES one. And then Contra 3, the Alien Wars, the pretty sweet Super Nintendo version of the game. Those are the 4 that they've announced for the Contra collection. So, again, 4 more.
We have noticed the lack of Contra Hardcore and all the Genesis ones.
So far, But they could be the secret four that are some of the secret four that are in there.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But what do you guys think so far? I mean, this is, you know, I mean, I know Konami's gotten a lot of shit lately, and rightfully so. But as far as like retro throwbacks and so forth, this seems like, I think, what a lot of people would be interested in. I know I'm probably going to be a sucker for that Castlevania collection. That's for sure. I wish the arcade collection, some of those. I might get it just for Gradius and Life Force, honestly.
Where's my throwback Bomani arcade collection?
It's doing a presidential move, distracting us from the real issues with, you know, little tidbits.
Yes. But, well, I mean, if these sell well, maybe there will be more.
You know, like Beatmania, poppin' music.
I would like, do you know how much I would love, like, a 5-key Beatmania collection? But also, I just feel like it's so niche that, like, we're asking for it. Some of our listeners, the date, you know, to the music game days and our fans, that stuff, are asking for it, too. But
just
are
put it only on PC.
Enough people asking for it? I don't know. I would love it, but I just don't. I don't totally see it happening. But we'll see. You never know.
I have a collection.
Tiger Claw in chat says, "What this Konami collection needs is the two Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles games and Simpsons and Sunset Riders."
We only need the arcade ones for sure.
Well, Ninja Turtles and Simpsons—that's going to be very hard with the licensing and all that stuff. So
that's why those got pulled off of the other digital storefronts.
Right.
Before.
But Sunset Riders is certainly a realistic prediction for maybe the future. Like if a second collection is released, but we'll see. I'll honestly, for $20, I'll probably pick it up, but I love that it's on PC as well. But then, do I get it on PC because it's where I play a lot of stuff and like have really good graphics and all that? Or do I get it on Switch so it can be portable? The struggle. I don't know what to do. All right.
Wait for the sales.
Yeah, I guess. All right, let's move on. Darkstalker, what do you have for us?
Well, I have some news about Mortal Kombat 11, which I think is pretty neat. But basically, now we all know what a beautiful thing the original Mortal Kombat movie was. It was one of the first video game movies done right. Well, the guy who played Shang Tsung, who is Hiroyuki Tagawa, is coming into Mortal Kombat 11 and lending his likeness to Shang Tsung in the game. And he will be the first character to be downloadable content for the game. He's also the guide for the Crypt Mortal Kombat 11's campaign-style mode that gives you challenges and unlockables. When he was unveiled, it was our first look at the Crypt at Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, C2E2. There actually is a clip of that out and about. Also, there's a confirmation of return of Noob Saibot.
And I think in the Noob Saibot clip, there was also Jackie was in there as well. Oh, no, there was Kotal Kahn. There was a separate thing. But anyway.
But that's some cool stuff. I mean, we're getting some of our little classics back.
Alan always makes it a point. Alan really likes the Mortal Kombat games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And y'all know where I'm at with these, where it's like, I love the old Mortal Kombat games with the new ones. They're like kind of like ultra violent for me. I don't know. It's a bit much. I kind of prefer Injustice as far as like the NetherRealm games go. But Alan makes it a point there's a new Saibot fatality. You want to see it? You should see it. Let's see. And it holds the phone in front of my face so I have to watch it. And I'm just like, this is y'all.
Bob, you've turned into your mom.
I know. I have. It's crazy. But seriously, like, did you see that Noob Saibot fatality? What the hell? Who thinks of that?
I don't think I saw it.
Anyway.
So what was it in graphic detail?
He freaking, like, pulls out the intestines and then, like, uses that to, like, go inside the body and then, like, jump out of the mouth. Like, his hands, like, go out of the mouth and, like, rips the head. It was disgusting. And then
it's also impossible.
Does he go, happy birthday? At the end?
I thought you were telling me he's going to rip
that,
out.
I'd play that game.
I was thinking you were going to tell me he's taking out the guts and macrameing with him.
Probably.
And so gets a nice hanging plant.
I like the happy birthday.
But I'm still imagining the macrame, like with the head as the plant in the middle and have it swinging like in the breeze on a porch.
I want to see, like, I don't know if they do this in games.
Sorry, real quick. With these really gross fatalities, I think it does say something that this guy is still lending his likeness to the game, knowing that it's going to be ripped apart in hideous pieces. That's a strong actor willing to do
that's
that.
That's just an added bonus. What are you talking about?
Maybe he's just like, leave the head intact.
Well, that you can't do that. Not, if Noob Saibot could do a fatality on him. Anyway.
Oh, I was just saying, you know how they do like the whole like X-ray things when you're like breaking bones and stuff like that, and it like, gets really gross and up close. I want to see them do that for friendships, but like maybe something a little bit different, like, you know, baking a cake, and I don't know what they do. They still do friendships in.
I feel like Mortal Kombat 9 had them. I don't remember X because I didn't play enough of it because I was like, eh.
I just think it'd be funny to parody that.
Probably somebody in chat will probably yell out where the friendship thing is at, but yeah. Anyway.
Or Babalities, yes. Do they still have Babalities?
I don't know if Babalities have been in the game in a while. I think that's been... Maybe that was in 9, too. 9 was really like a throwback to the classic like Mortal Kombat games. That was really the last one that I kind of played, to be honest. I do hope they find a way to work in with the Shang Tsung actor. I really hope they do find a way to get him to actually do the "your soul is mine," that whole thing, like from the movie.
Of course, that has to be there.
Like, please tell me they got him to do that. Like, you know, their little walk-ins when they're all badass when they walk into the arena. I really hope he does that. "Your soul is mine," with the, you know, big eyes and all that, like in the movie. So it'd be, yes, that'd be hilarious. So let's see. Comments in chat. SG100 Matt says Jax still hasn't been announced. There's still time, right? They did announce Jackie. Was hers the one? I saw another fatality because, again, Alan makes me watch them all because he's sick. There's one where, like, they're putting up fake walls, like a laser wall or something. And, like, the laser wall, like, totally splits this guy in half. And I was like, this is gross. I think that was Jackie's fatality.
Didn't they steal that, like, from the first Resident Evil movie or something?
But you could also say Resident Evil stole it from Cube. So, hard to say.
Cube was a good movie.
You know what's weird? As much as I hate gore and violence and all that stuff, I actually thought Cube was a great movie, too.
I really liked Hypercube better, though.
I never saw the sequels. You know that?
Actually, the reason why I liked it better is because it does, like... A Hypercube is another word for a Tesseract.
Yeah.
Which is a fourth-dimensional cube.
No, I heard, like, the sequels get super nerdy with the math.
The third one is shitty. The third one is absolute shit.
Were there four,
like,
or
cubes,
just three?
No, there was Cube, Hypercube, and Cube Zero.
So these are, like... If you've never heard of these movies, like Cube, they're like, super, like, cult, like... Low budget.
The first one was really low budget.
They were Canadian films,
if I'm not mistaken. Nicole DeBoer is in the first one.
I'm almost positive the first one's a Canadian film.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think it had a limited
release.
If anyone
doesn't recognize that name, she was Ezri Dax in Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's also like one of the big main characters in it too. But yeah, it was basically these people are put in like this shifting room cube and they have to figure out how to find the exit, but the rooms are shifting.
Yeah.
Cube 2 is when it's also shifting in time.
Cube would have made a great video game.
I was just thinking that.
I'm surprised they never
did
that.
I don't think I can eat Indian food
It
anymore.
Could have been on the GameCube.
And if Cube came out in this day and age, it would be an escape room. Like, right? Because you know how like those escape rooms are huge and everywhere? Like, Cube is an escape. That would have been a thing, but I think the movie's a little old now at this point. Anyway.
Yeah, everyone should still watch it. It's a classic.
It's
not really that gross either.
See a Tiberi in chat commenting on... as I'm talking about Jackie Bridges' fatality, is asking, when do we get the 227 crossover? I want to see Jackie Harry. I want to see Jackie. Oh, God. Just think one of those actresses from 227 just won an Oscar. Think about that for a minute. Anyway, moving on. Let's move on. Dr. Tsuya is saying, isn't there already an escape room horror movie? Yes, but I'm talking about the other way around. Like, if Cube was a movie that came out today, they do an escape room based on Cube, I think is a good concept.
That would be crazy, though, because, I mean, it's not feasible.
Yeah, it's true. I know.
They should do a game.
I keep seeing commercials on Facebook for a Saw-themed escape room in Vegas, and I'm like, nope.
Nope the fuck out of there.
No, nope the fuck out of that. Block ad. Report at. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't report it. But I definitely was like, interested in this.
Oh, I'm blocking ads left and right, though. But still. All right. Oh, well, and I'm going to actually officially say I would put this as a dream game. That they do a Cube video game.
No, that'd be rad. Pixel Pocket says there is a game based on Cube. Ugh, what's it called? But Pixel Pocket, there certainly wasn't one based on the movie, but maybe inspired by Cube. That I could see. There probably is a game out there. And this is not Intelligent Cube either. That is very different.
I'm just going to say right now, everyone needs to watch Cube. And also, one last thing. Someone recreated the end of a Hypercube in Unreal.
Are they on streaming
services? I take that back. They did it as a Quake mod.
Is that movie on streaming services and stuff?
I'm sure it is, but I own like old ass DVDs of them.
I know. Somebody else in chat has seen it. Only Sonic in chat says Cube was cool. Somebody else knows what we're talking about. That's good. And Tiger Claw found the IMDb, so that's good. All right. Let's move on and talk about some more gaming news, because we're running a little long tonight, but that's okay. We're having good discussions. Let's go, Loki.
I was just looking for Cube the video game, and they have a game on Steam called Half Dead that people are comparing to Cube, because he's survived through rooms of traps, so that might be something to look up. Anyways, speaking of Steam, though, it's getting an overhaul, especially the libraries. So they had some screenshots put up and a bunch of information coming out during GDC talking about how they're going to overhaul the Steam library page. And yes, it looks amazing. They've got basically different sections, like, for example, parts.
Not everybody's a fan. I've been looking on Twitter. Some people are like, what's this? You know,
I think it looks cool. I mean, they have, like, you know, different games that have updates recently. Games you have completed. Well, that's going to be a very small list for me. They should have games I haven't played yet. That's going to be all of it. But yeah, they're saying
it should feature in the library very big. Here's a game that you paid money for, but you still haven't touched. Feature of the day.
Yes. But basically, they have like a carousel of dedicated games and updates. They've got like different things that show different friends activities. It almost looks a little bit like the PlayStation events page. What do they call that? That social media thing that they have on like the PlayStation 4. That's like kind of whatever that shows like your friends activities. And
yeah,
stuff.
I know what you're talking about. I don't know the branded name of that though.
The feed or
I think it's something like PlayStation feed or something.
But anyways, whatever that is. But they're going to have like something that show what your friends are playing, that type of stuff. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. And then like they have different events. So you can actually see, you know, what's coming up, like different
tournaments and things.
Tournaments, yeah. And online games.
Like free weekend of DLC or something.
Let's be honest. Like I think Steam could use a little bit of a refresh. I mean, so. I'm down.
Isn't that funny? Right around this time where we talk a lot about the Epic Game Store and we talk about good old games and we talk about all the competition out, Humble Bundle and all the competition out there, isn't it funny that Steam is suddenly kind of feeling the need to refresh and tidy up house a little bit?
You know, it's funny, though. It's like actually looking at the layout that they have kind of reminds me of the Epic Game Store a bit.
A little bit. Actually, speaking of game stores, though, this came across my Twitter feed this week, and I didn't really realize this. Did you notice Discord's game store is gone? It was quietly removed from the app, and it's been replaced with a section that focuses on that Nitro thing that they sell. So not so much the piece-by-piece game store things, but the subscription service, basically.
I forgot all about it.
Which is basically a Discord's paid version, you know, and that whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Discord kind of quietly slipped out the back door on all those games things. But they, you know, as much as – and I still think, and I've said this on the show before, I think Discord is a pretty brilliant gaming company, and the way that they got themselves on all your computers – and all your mobile phones and all that stuff. I think it's pretty brilliant what they did. And I'm kind of surprised to hear that the store has exited as a result. But it did come out at kind of like exactly the wrong moment when all of a sudden now Epic Game Store comes in and says, oh, no, by the way, the price cut we're given is, you know, undercut this. And so it's almost like Discord probably in a weird way had a problem standing out with that. So I don't know. So anyway. Pixel Pacas also says this is kind of a change here. If you have a and I remember reading about this in the press release too. Pixel Pacas says if you have a verified Discord server, then you can sell your game on the server. And so that's pretty clever too, because you know there's all these Discords out there. Like there's obviously cheap plug for the VOG Network Discord at vognetwork.com/discord, where we talk about the shows, and a lot of people drop topics in the OLR chat room, and I know for Bobby's chat room too, and we use them. We absolutely use them on the show. And I love some of the discussion that happens on there too, because some of the people who can't listen live will kind of go into like a long form kind of feedback, and I love reading it. Even if I don't always respond to it directly, I just, you know, love that it's there. So anyway, cheap plug for our own Discord. But game makers all have their own Discord too. So wouldn't it be something if like you were to join the Discord for, you know, Indie Adventure 11 or whatever game is under development, and then when the game's ready to go on sale, oh, here's in our Discord, because we're a premium, you can click right here and get the game right now. So it's not to say that the store is gone, but it's not like a traditional store at this point anymore. So anyway, let's move on. Let's talk. Maybe let's not move on for a minute because I need a drink. Sorry.
Oh, Rob. Well, I did discover that I apparently can't eat Indian food like I used to. So, but I'd be happy to share with anybody else who wants some.
Oh,
would you like your sinuses blown wide open?
I gotta wait for it. Did you get really spicy?
It's not really spicy, but spicy to me.
Yeah, I was also gonna say, can't you not like do spicy?
I can only have like some pepper stuff. It's not to where I'm gonna need any Benadryl yet.
Okay, gotcha.
For all those who don't know, Jamie has a pepper allergy.
Oh, that's right. All right. Anyway, I'm ready. Sorry, I've rinsed my mouth with water and I'm ready to talk again. Hopefully,
Girl.
What did I do? I know, right? All right, anyway, let's talk about Nintendo's Labo and the next Labo kit that they've announced, which is Labo VR.
You remember if Puppy came back, we could call him Black Labo?
I would love, from way back in the day. God, when was the last time he was on the show?
I wish Puppy would come back.
10 years ago was probably the last time he
was on
the show.
Everyone who knows Puppy, tell him to come back.
You know he's got like a kid now? That kid's probably like 5 years old.
It's perfect time to get his kid introduced to our podcast.
We got to recruit. We got to recruit still for people.
Get him young.
We got to recruit for people to co-host the show with Josh and
Julian.
So we still got to. We still got to get a third host somewhere.
Julian's going to be 12 next month.
Oh my god! You got to be kidding me. 12.
12.
How old was he when he was on the show? Like 9. It was a while ago.
Like 10.
Was he? All right. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Labo. The next kit for Nintendo Labo is a VR kit. And so, of course, a lot of people went, oh, my gosh, Nintendo's taking on Oculus Rift. No, Nintendo's not taking on Oculus Rift. Okay? This is not playing Breath of the Wild in VR. In fact, Nintendo actually has put out a video that's really demonstrated some of the things that they're doing in their Labo VR kit. And I gotta say, it's pretty, like, the amount, the depth and the amount of stuff they're doing, if it's like a mini game collection, there's a lot of freaking mini games in it. So, like, there's a thing where you can build, like, a blaster, and there's, like, a blaster little mini game that you can play. But there were some other cool little things, too, like a 3D paint. So it's not Mario Paint. I don't know why they didn't brand it Mario Paint. That would have been...
But it looks like an elephant.
Right, but that elephant thing, was there, that was, like, the painting thing, though, right?
That's what's so confusing, because it's like an elephant
thing. I also feel like it's a missed opportunity for Mario Paint 3D, but that's all right. But, I mean, it was, like, a neat concept, you know, just the idea of, like, painting in the 3D space. Anyway, so here it is. Here it is. Really, the VR is like a plastic goggle thing that just goes on top of your Switch. And it's never going to be like the Oculus or the other stuff because it isn't strapped to your head. You have to hold it to your head.
I get why they're doing that because they can do the math with the two controllers with the angles and stuff. Since it can tell based on the angles of the two controllers where it is in 3D space because there's no real way to track it. But it's still weird.
Mm. So... I'm looking in chat over at twitch.tv/VOG Network, and I see they're talking a little bit about some of the okay, so Bobby says, I can explain the elephant. It's using infrared stickers to mimic 60OF controllers like the Vive controllers or Oculus Touch controllers. The infrared stickers are on the headset of the elephant. So, I mean, it's cool, but it's also like the very kind of like the way we kind of expected Nintendo to get into VR in some ways. Although, I got to say, this, I mean, because there's a whole video. There's like a 10-minute video you can watch out there about Labo VR, and you can see all the, you know, things. Because they show all these different experiences, and then they go, and there's 64 more that are just like for the goggles. And it's like, geez. I mean, they're not all like full-featured games. Some of them are just like, look in this fish thing.
Look into this goose's butt.
But you got to wonder, like, did Nintendo, like, start to go down this path of VR, and these were all the concept things they built, and then they were like, maybe not, and so they repackaged it into this, because you know Nintendo is never going to be one to, like, throw something away completely, right? They're going to repackage it, just like the Wii U, the Miyamoto experience they showed, right? They repackaged it into a Star Fox spinoff, right? Remember that?
Yes. Yeah, I know. Your Project Guard.
Yeah. They ended up making a Star Fox spinoff out of it. So it's like, you almost wonder, was this all made originally with Labo in mind, or was this kind of like the whole, like, this is what we're going to do with it. This is, I don't know. It's kind of interesting to think about where Nintendo's brain might have been with this. But that all being said, I think it'll do pretty good. I think it'll be the type of thing, like, even though it's out kind of early, I think especially for that younger audience. I don't know if, like, you, me, Jamie, I don't know if we would be, like, at the start of the line to get this sort of thing. But I think for, like, the younger kids, the teens and the tweens, like, this is going to be right up their alley. Like, if I was 12 and gaming right now, I'd fucking want this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But don't be under 7 years old, because there's all sorts of health warnings. Put all that aside, like, this is pretty, and it's, you know, what you learn from the experience of building it and all that stuff as well is an important part of
it. Yeah, the thing that sucks is, I bet this would be pretty hard to stream this.
Bobby in chat says, I'm at the start of the line getting it. Yeah, but you're a VR enthusiast, and it's a little different. It's to be expected. So, I think it's a logical step for how Nintendo goes into the VR. They can kind of put one foot in the pool and be like, okay, that was nice, and then go back to do what they were doing. All right, let's move on. Dark Sakura.
Well, who remembers a particular game where you took, holy crap, did I just lose, I lost my story.
I don't remember a game where you took a holy crap.
That was in...
There was Try Not to... Was it?
Don't Shit Your Pants.
Don't Shit Your Pants, yeah. I remember that.
Anyway, where you took a manual, you dipped it in water, or a letter, and you would get a code on it that you would put in after you submerged your submarine. Although, in retrospect, I wonder how they would have gotten the letter out of the submarine in the game to then get it back to get the code, because that would depressurize the submarine and everyone would die. But I'm talking about Star Tropics.
I was like, you are going to tell the kids, the children's E is what game we're talking about, right? Okay, yes. Star Tropics.
Well,
Nintendo's.
Star Tropics is going to be on the Switch, but guess what it's missing? The letter.
Yeah.
That has the thing.
It didn't work out well for me when I was, you know, when I originally got this game, because I bought it used a long time ago and it didn't have the letter. I had to call the 800 number.
Well, some people think that's why Nintendo did this, because y'all probably wouldn't remember, but back in the day, back in my day, when these video game rentals, game companies were really pissed about video game rentals, because they're like, it's preventing people from dropping money on the game. They beat the games, so they never buy it, and they don't get to see those returns on the rentals. So the gaming industry hated the rental. They probably still do, but it's probably just not as big of a deal as it used to be.
Well, now they have, you know, licensing deals with rental companies.
That's true. And some say that DLC, Online Pass, the EA did. Remember that? They did. That was the used game market and all that. But anyway, this was Nintendo's way of kind of combating that. Back in the day, it was like, oh, you don't get past a certain point without a special code that's only with new copies of the game.
Yeah. But at any rate... The manual is not going to be there. Nobody said anything about the manual being there. It's not there. Of course, we do have the internet today. But just at the same time, Nintendo themselves aren't really... They're not providing the code.
Well, I'm really surprised they didn't just put it in the description. Like, there's little descriptions.
Well, they had in the Wii U version, yeah. They had the whole manual, like the digital manuals, and you could actually do it. Did a little animation where it dips it in the water,
yeah.
And
yeah,
all that.
Cute.
But why couldn't they just port that over?
Because they
reasons.
It's not like they're
because
the
they half-assed it is what they did.
Well,
and spoiler: the code is 747.
Yes, if you need it, the code is 747, like an airplane, 747. So
even though you're in a submarine.
Yes.
So, whatever.
But you think they would just put that in the description or something. This is weird.
Anyway, the point in the game is when Babu, who is like the uncle's assistant, is possessed and says, evil aliens from a distant planet, tell my nephew to use code 1776. Tell Mike to dip my letter in water.
You know, Star Tropics was a really unique kind of game. If you haven't played Star Tropics, you really should.
It was lateness.
Well, you know what's funny?
The Super Famicom had already been out in Japan for a few weeks when this game released.
Dark Tetsuya says, I think Star Tropics was too late for me. I think I moved on to the Super Nintendo by then. I think people did, but some people forget. Did you guys remember? There was a Star Tropics 2.
Zoda's Revenge.
Yeah. So, and you want to talk about a game? Because Zoda's Revenge, if I'm not mistaken, was the next to last NES game, the last being Wario's Woods, that Nintendo did. period, for the NES. Like, Zoda's Revenge was next to last. That was very late in the cycle. But if you haven't played the original Star Tropics, it's neat because
yeah, I've actually beaten that game.
It mixes elements of, like, Zelda. Here's the other fascinating thing, though, you might not have known about that game. Because, you know, on the Switch Online right now, we got Star Tropics and Kid Icarus, right? And then over in Japan, they got Kid Icarus, and they got their special Japanese-only game. I don't remember if this was the month that the sumo wrestling game came out. But they got some Japanese-only thing that was never here. But they didn't get Star Tropics in Japan. They got Fire Emblem, which we never got here, right? Why didn't Japan get Star Tropics? It was never released in Japan. Even though Star Tropics was developed in Japan, it was this rare product of a company that said, we're going to develop a game here for the audience over here in the States. And so Star Tropics was developed in Japan for an American audience. And that's why that game is kind of interesting. And UK. I believe the first Star Tropics was in the UK. I don't think the sequel ever was. I think Zoda's Revenge, and I think I maybe played Zoda's Revenge once, but I don't remember it. I want to say Zoda's Revenge, like, tried to teach you history. Or something, like, it had a lot of historical stuff that was kind of built into it. It was
learning. I don't want to do any of that.
Which is why I didn't sell. So anyway.
America.
Yeah. SG100 Matt in chat says, I think Rob needs to do a stream playing Star Tropics. Be careful what you ask for. Bob Coffey brings up, like Secret of Evermore. Close. Secret of Evermore, remember, there was a Square USA for a hot minute. I think it was in the Seattle area, right? So, there was a Square USA for a hot minute, and Secret of Evermore was like the game that they produced. So it was still like a Japanese company, but with a U.S. office. And this was years before they ever had like IDOS or things like that, you know, and that whole thing. So a little bit different, but like I see where you're going with that. Which then the interesting thing about Secret of Evermore is that was a what's that composer? Sule? Mm-hmm. Jeremy? That his name? Who did Skyrim and Oblivion? Does all the Guild Wars. He does a lot of great soundtracks. That was like, he was probably a young guy when he did that.
Yeah, Secret Jeremy Sully.
Thank you. Okay, I knew it was like, yeah, he was on Secret of Evermore.
Mm-hmm.
Random.
Go fig.
Weird ass fact. But yeah, so it was developed here in America and was the first game that brought us that guy who still does a lot of these, you know, everybody knows the Skyrim stuff, right? Dovahkiin, 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 right? That whole thing, right? So mm-hmm. that was his first game. So there you go. Anyway, Act Defton Chat says, here, there, everywhere. Indeed. All right. And we are going here, there, everywhere. Let's go to another story from Loki.
All right. So this is pretty awesome. So they were showing this off at GDC. I want to say that this was a Kickstarter at one time, but it's this device called the NES or the NES Maker. So, you know, you may have your Mario Makers and stuff, but this actually makes NES
Mentos,
games.
The NES Maker.
And it's coming from, it's coming from the 8-bit, the group that did the 8-Bit Heroes film, which they made a game called Mystic Searches, which is an NES game. And so they released basically their tool set to make these games. And so it's very much you can make stuff without any programming. You can make your own NES cartridges and actually play them on an NES, which is pretty awesome. So if this is something you're interested in, you check it out at www.thenew8bitheroes.com. And they sell, you can download the software, you have to buy the activation code for it, and then they also sell the flashers and stuff. Plus there's dozens of tutorials on how to do everything.
This is hot. Like, yeah. I'm into this. Now, Loki, you're the one that like tries to make games. You don't ever finish, but you know, it's a long-running joke here on the show. Surely this looks up your alley. Are you going to try to make a game in NES Maker?
It looks interesting. I'd be interested to see what it can do. But yeah, I mean, it looks pretty cool. I don't have an NES to play games on, so...
I have three.
I mean, yeah, I could play them in a
I know
emulator.
So many people just do emulator these
days.
Well,
I was going to say you could probably borrow an NES.
Throw it on my NES or Super NES Classic.
Could I take the ROM that I make in NES Maker, burn it to a Dreamcast disc with the NES emulator on Dreamcast, and play my NES Maker game on the Dreamcast?
Probably.
Yes.
Fuck yeah, how meta.
And then you could also, like, you know, put it on the SNES Classic or an NES Classic. You can flash it to those.
Oh, an NES Classic but it's all games I made up.
That'd be cool.
I like that. It's very cool.
Call it the Rob ES.
Anyway, some comments.
The Rob Entertainment System.
Some comment, not to be confused with the robot, right? Some comments on our Twitch over twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, again, where we do tape live on Sunday nights. Bobby Blackwolf says, if you can't finish a game in Unity, you won't be able to finish a game in Nestmaker. I call shade.
It's,
although he's
it is
right.
True. It is more.
Spot the lie. I don't find it.
It is true. I mean, it is more restricting to build something in it for an NES cartridge because they have a lot of limitations there.
Mm, true. Because so, if it's going to run on the actual system, they can't just like.
Yeah, you have file sizes and you have to make sure your sprites are all small enough and compact enough. And yeah, so there's a
you're
lot
only
of
using so many colors in the palette at a time.
Right.
And your sprite palette only has the RAM only has so much to load.
Exactly. So it is a challenge.
You probably have to have a bigger brain to develop for NES. Is that what you're saying?
No, you just need have to be a lot smarter. More planning, I think.
I'm just being an asshole. I'm just kidding. Low,
that's what I was doing this week, by the way, been playing any games because I'm fucking playing with Unity, okay? So that's why I haven't been playing games. Am I going to talk about what I'm working on? No, because none
right
of
now.
You people care about that crap. You just give me a hard time forever, so the hell with you.
People watching the stream cannot see how red the two of you both are right now.
They might be able to see a little bit. Me from laughing, him from being angry. So is Loki...
Yeah, no, you look more amused.
are we saying, Loki, that... that you're not going to be talking about Unity Develop anymore because you're sick of all these jokes. You're sick about people joking. You never finish things. And you're just going to come on here one day and you're going to say, I fucking released a game. Mic drop. Is that?
Well,
is
we
that
don't want to drop the mics. They're not the, they might break.
Drop it on the couch.
Drop it on the couch. Yeah.
Put it on Pikachu's little pillow there. Drop it on Pikachu. He'll hold it for you. There you go.
There you go. Let's drop it on Pikachu. Got to think about the mics.
All right. Okay. So. Loki's new plan is to catch you all off guard. It's Beyonce. He's going to do the Beyonce. He's going to be – because now Beyonce is a verb ever since what she did in the music industry. He's going to Beyonce his game on us all someday. So we will eagerly await it. And Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, this is why game developers aren't as open with gamers. Now you're learning this firsthand.
Whatever.
All right. Anyway. Let's move on and talk a little bit about Final Fantasy Fan Fest in Japan. So you guys know I'm a fan of Final Fantasy 14. I've played that game quite a bit. And the new expansion, I went to this in Las Vegas, and they announced in Japan, they had their kind of like final Fan Fest because they did one in Paris as well a couple months ago. So this one that they did in Japan was kind of the last one that's going to be leading into this expansion, Shadowbringers. Which is going to be coming out pre-play, I think it's June 28th. So for those that pre-order, you can play on June 28th. And so they announced a brand new class that's going to be playable in the game. So we know that we already had Gunbreaker was going to be the first class, a new tank. And the other job that they have unveiled is Dancer. That's right. You can live out your Mog fantasies and be a Dancer. Interesting, though, a lot of people predicted the Dancer would be another healer. But Dancer turns out to be a ranged DPS, although they're saying that Dancer will be able to do certain buffs that will have an effect on your party, which is interesting because we kind of thought that's what Bard's going to do. And Bard does have some limited things, but it's like shared with machinists. But anyway, they have talked about a battle system complete redesign anyway. So we'll probably hear about exactly how that's going to work in a couple months in May or so forth. They announced some new areas for the expansion. They announced that the new raid, not the one, the 24-man, that's the partnership with the folks behind Nier and that whole thing. They talked about that in Paris. But the new raid here is called Eden, and it actually is going to have characters designed by Tetsuya Nomura from Kingdom Hearts and you know all that. So that's got a lot of people's attention for sure. And then they announced, because a lot of people have been looking forward to, they announced the Viera in Paris, so the Viera from Fran from Final Fantasy XII, right? They're going to be in Final Fantasy XIV, but when they showed it off in Paris, there was nothing but female Viera and you know characters that kind of look like Fran, right? And so a lot of people were kind of waiting, oh, they're going to show off the male Viera in Tokyo. Well, guess what? They dropped the bombshell. There are no male Viera. There are going to be instead the Hrothgar. which is a class that, and I'm not going to get too far into the Final Fantasy lore, but basically this whole next expansion is going to take place in another realm where every race has like a mirror race. And the mirror race for Hrothgar is the Ronso, which if you guys remember Final Fantasy X, Kilmari. So Hrothgars are basically Kilmari from Final Fantasy X. But Hrothgars are male only. So you cannot be a female Hrothgar, even though females, Ronsos, were present in Final Fantasy X. And I got to be honest, when I kind of saw the footage of the Hrothgars, I was like, this looks a little rushed. I got the feeling watching this, they made this decision like quick, especially when you look at the words when they talked about in Las Vegas when we were there about how like Viera would be the last race. They're not going to do another race. And then in Tokyo they say, well, I know we said Viera was going to be the last race, but we're actually going to do one other race, because I have this feeling that in these few months between Vegas and Tokyo, they made the decision to flip out. And I know there was leaks back and I've heard all that crap. But I think somewhere in there, they made the decision they're not doing male Viera for whatever reason. And I think it's a shit decision.
They're
personally.
Like the Gerudo then.
I think it's a shit decision.
They have one male every 100 years, and then he turns out to be Ganon.
What? Do they have male Mithras in this game? Or
yes, they do. Here's
they do. Yeah, there's that pretty boy with the neck tattoo.
So here's the whole thing. When they originally went from Final Fantasy 14, so 11 had gender-locked races, right?
Yes.
So the equivalent of the Rogadin, the Galka in Final Fantasy 11 were males only, and the Mithra, which are the Makode in 14, were female only. And because 14 was a lazy-ass fuck copy-paste of 11 in many ways, they kept it the same. 14 1.0, they did, which was a terrible game, they did a lot of the same. So when they made Final Fantasy 14 2.0 or Realm Reborn, they were like, why would we gender lock these things? Let's just open it up. Let's do. And they did male Makode and they did female Rogadin, and it's worked. So when they announced Viera, a lot of people got really excited about, oh, well, Final Fantasy 14's been like super progressive on a lot of this, like genders. They listened to their player base and they made the glamour and the bunny stuff you can put on male or female. And Final Fantasy 14 is infamous for the subligar. Right, which is dudes not wearing pants. Look it up. Dudes and females not wearing pants.
11 as well.
But basically in
Final 11 had that too.
It did. But basically in Final Fantasy 14, not only do the women look like hoes, but so do the men. And that's what a lot of people love about the game. So it's really fucking weird and off-putting to suddenly hear the development team go, we just, you know, male Vieiras, we just, it just felt weird. So we're doing this instead. What? What? You just but everything you did in 2.0. And you better believe people are pissed. And you know who's pissed? A lot of women. A lot of women out there on Twitter and so far are pissed because they were looking forward to playing their buddy boys. And to be fair, why shouldn't they get to play the sexualized male class or whatever, even though like the kitty boys are kind of sexualized as well? And honestly, I was really fucking looking forward to playing a bunny boy. I really wanted to see how they were going to do it. And I just think the fact that they're now gender locking in 5.0 when they realized that that was a bad decision in 2.0 is fucking period ridiculous period. Do you have a comment, Darksire?
Just something a little bit of history thing that I just had to check because I was really curious to see if it was a real thing, and it was, or what the real thing was called. Subligar was actually called the subligaculum, which basically means little binding underneath. Exactly. I knew what some of it meant, but I had to look up the rest of it.
That's what a drag queen uses as their trick, too.
Tucking panties.
Yes.
But in this case, it was actually the dress of gladiators, athletes, and actors on stage in Rome. And it was a precursor to the bikini.
Well, it makes sense because that's how you make sure you're not sewing a moose knuckle when you're on stage. If you're wearing, you know, a dancing thing. That's why they have like a dance belt, right? So that it makes it look a little more Ken
doll.
Remember,
if you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
All right.
But now, but I wanted
now
to
that
say,
our viewers have seen and listeners have heard much more than they want. Anyway, I'm sorry.
But
go
anyway,
ahead.
Just saying it was a precursor to the bikini.
Yeah, no, I know.
Thanks, Rome.
So anyway,
I have to throw some education in this shit.
So I'm just, I think it's, I don't think these Hrothgar look very good at all. And I think there's a lot of question marks in the way this news was delivered. There's a lot of fan art out there about male Vieiras that look great. I don't understand why Square can't fucking figure it out. But I kind of think they need to figure it out. I think they're, like, it's 2019. Like, just figure it out. Give us the boy bunnies, damn it. And honestly, I gotta admit, as much as I enjoy Final Fantasy XIV, like, I do feel like a lot of the announcements we're getting is like, here's the new 8-man raid. Here's the new 24-man raid. Here's the new dungeon. Here's all the cookie cutters for this expansion that are just like the ones in the last expansion. And we haven't heard enough about what's really, like, game-changing.
I'm going back to WoW.
Well, you know, I have
for real.
I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft, and I don't think that game's perfect. I think I get why people are mad at WoW, too, because I think a lot of the lore in this new expansion is straight up bad. Like, what they did to Sylvanas, it's dumb. It's just dumb.
I've been still working on the previous Illidan stuff just because it's more
that was better.
Demon space elf husband boyfriend.
But, like, this new... I'm sorry. The new expansion, the lore is bad. Anyway. But I will say, when I log into WoW, I don't feel like a shortage of things to do. Like, I'm like, I could go... And the way you can gear up and feel progression in World of Warcraft, and granted, they've had, like, 8 expansions to perfect this. Final Fantasy's on, what, their 4th? But you can go do a world quest, or you can go run mythic dungeons, or you can raid if you want, or you can do PvP. And I feel like there's just, like, more things to kind of do to feel a sense of progression in World of Warcraft than maybe in Final Fantasy XIV. Like, I feel like even though Final Fantasy XIV, like, especially the expansions, have had a great story, I feel like kind of like once you beat that story, it's like, well, why do I keep paying my monthly fee? And when I think one of the biggest criticisms about Final Fantasy XIV is that people are like, I'd love to play it, I'd love to experience the story, but bummer about that monthly fee because I ain't going to play it because that monthly fee. I kind of think Final Fantasy XIV really is at a point in its growth. They need to really justify that monthly fee. Sure, it's got a great story. You've justified the cost of buying the expansion. Now justify that monthly fee. And I say that as a longtime supporter of Final Fantasy XIV, but I kind of feel like there's been a lot of decisions made at Square Enix that are very much like, we exist in this bubble, and we're going to make this decision just because we think it's best. They need, like, a council. I mean, they've been pretty good about listening to their player base, and I hope they do it on this male Vieira thing, too. Anyway, I've talked long enough. Sorry. looking at our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Sia Tabiri says, ugh, this bikini talk reminds me that I need to finish catching up on the Ace Attorney anime. Garth the Wolf in chat says, I keep thinking of resubbing to 14, but also got to justify if that fee is worth the time I'm going to spend on it. I would say it's super worth it for that month you're going to spend to beat the story, but, like, I'm kind of overrating. I don't really do it anymore. I don't do it in WoW. I don't do it in Final Fantasy 14. Kind of over that part of it. Dungeons are okay because you need far less people to do those, but, like, I'm not interested. And, look, again, you game how you want to game, and I've been a raider in the past, and there's a lot of joy in it. But for me, I just don't want to sit there for 2 hours learning a fight anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like having my DBM.
Oh, the Deadly Boss Mods?
Yeah.
Yeah, but even then, even with that, you still, when you rage, you got
to,
like, know.
It's still not hard to learn.
No.
I watch one YouTube video, do one practice run, and I usually have it the third time.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, did they implement the NPC helpers for dungeons? So that's the big thing in this next expansion. So instead of, like, endgame content, trusts are, like, the brand new thing in this expansion where they are making a shift. So, you know, to be fair to Square Enix, they are kind of listening to feedback where people don't really want to play an MMO as a multiplayer game, which I get it. They are implementing that as this new expansion. So you will be able to beat the Shadowbringers story with just yourself and a little help from your NPC friends instead of your IRL friends. And so for those that are a little more nervous about tanking and things like that, which I get, I don't like to tank either, it'll be a lot easier because you won't be worrying about, oh, I'm going to get other people killed. It's just, oh, I'm getting these NPCs killed. So,
and they're expendable.
Yes, they are expendable, which is like in Skyrim. Hooray, I have Lydia. Oh, Lydia died. Right? All right, anyway.
Or they just disappear sometimes. She'll disappear, and then all of a sudden she'll come back and be like, ah, where the hell did you come from?
All right, let's go to back to a time when games were a little simpler, and we had to just put trust in the development of the game that it was going to be a good game, but there weren't NPCs following you around, especially not in this game. Well, maybe, I guess there were, maybe a little bit in this game. But anyway, it's the classic game of the week. Dark Sakura, what is the classic game of the week that you picked for us this week?
I went into Namco Land and did Winning Run. Winning Run is a first-person Formula One racing game. It was released in 1998 in Japan and in 1989 January in the European Union. That didn't exist back then, so in Europe. And it was the first game to run on the 3D Namco System 21 Polygonizer hardware. Music was composed by Kawada Hiroyuki, who had also worked on Galaga 88.
And since you mentioned music, it's going to shift here. We're going to play some stuff from the soundtrack because the ambient noise of the game is just kind of...
Pretty much.
Yeah, so we switched it out for the actual soundtrack here in the video.
At any rate, development for this game actually began over 3 years before the game's release when they were developing the hardware. Now, I'm sure people are familiar with Namco System 21, but just to go ahead and tell you what else came on it was... Winning Run Suzuka Grand Prix, Galaxian Third. I never want to call it three because it's got the cube. So Galaxian Cube, Driver's Eyes, Winning Run 91, Starblade, Solovu, Air Combat, Cyber Sled, and Attack of the Zolgir. So some pretty big names came out on that. But anyway, this was the first 3D game that Namco had released on that system. It was the first game on that system. It was also considered a milestone in 3D polygon graphics. It pushed 60,000 polygons per second, and it used the shapes basically as the building blocks for the structures within the game. It's basically in one of those little sit-down cabinets like most of the other Namco racing games at the time. And you had two game modes. You had easy drive with an automatic transition and slower gameplay, or technical drive that was manual transmission with faster gameplay. It also featured a Dunlop-style tire bridge over the track with the text of Namco on it. And, you know, it had many musical things in common with Final Lap. It also had a rear-view mirror so you could see what was behind you. And, of course, it had two sequels, like I mentioned, Winning Run Suzuka Grand Prix and Winning Run 91. Driver's Eyes, also that was on the same hardware, was a three-monitor game that was considered in the family but not a true sequel. At any rate, it was a really, really successful game, too. Famicom Tsushin, which was the arcade earnings chart, then had it hit number one in August of 1989, so that was, you know, almost a year later. The first game that overtook it was actually Super Monaco GP, so another thing at the same time. At any rate, it was also super well received in Europe. It got really great reviews. Really, it just got so many raves over, especially since it did push early 3D back in the day. I'm trying to find what other releases came out. It doesn't have it all listed together. But there was, it actually did get a mention in Commodore User back in the day when it was starting to come out in the UK. And basically most of it doesn't look like it ever got any kind of home release from what I can see.
Yeah, this definitely looks like a game of an era when like hard drive-in, like, you know, when those like very like polygon heavy, like creating 3D experiences of these huge polygons. I mean, you know, those of you that are kind of watching it on Twitch with us are probably like, boy, this definitely looks dated, but it's like, this is definitely like a product of like its time.
But you know,
there were a lot of similar games and like the consoles couldn't freaking do it. They did like an NES or SNES version of Stunt Driving or one of those. It was kind of terrible.
Well, yeah. But now look at just the playthrough here, right? And just see the general layout and how things are lined up. Tell me of another Namco game that this makes you think of.
When I saw the map, I thought Pole Position. I know that's Atari. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, obviously the logical step would be Ridge Racer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A lot of the track layout and elements, I firmly believe Ridge Racer would have been a nod back to this one. Even though this one's still a Formula One style game, it has so much in common with it. It even looks like it flows like Ridge Racer does. I wouldn't doubt that they looked at this game to bring it into the modern era to make it Ridge Racer.
Yeah. By the way, I'm out of footage, so I got to come back to us to the studio. That was the footage
I
have.
Anyway.
Oh, good. Well, there it is, your classic game of the week, Winning Run. But it was neat because, again, like even though it's definitely like I think that's an important racing game because without that game, you probably wouldn't have what you have today with like Ridge Racer, or I shouldn't say today. When was the last time they did a Ridge Racer game? It's been a while.
Wasn't it
long time?
R7?
Yeah, Ridge probably R7. Yeah.
No, they had the one for the Vita, and then they did one for PC and consoles, but it wasn't really the Ridge Racer team. It was the guys at Bugbear, I think, that did like the those games.
Actually, Dark Tetsuya in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, actually, Pole Position was Namco in Japan. So when I called out that track, so maybe Pole Position led to this in some ways.
It's indeed possible.
Yeah.
And I actually will tell you what my inspiration for picking Winning 11 was.
You mean Winning Run.
Winning Run, sorry. Winning
11 is
different
different game, yes.
Was one of the YouTube channels I like to watch, RetroCore, does Battle of the Ports. And I was watching the Pole Position Battle of the Ports. And I was like, I know Namco did another game that we never got over here. So it sort of sent me down that rabbit hole. And it was Winning Run. So I was like, that's what inspired me to do it.
Great.
And if you guys have never watched RetroCore's stuff, I mean, he's funny and some of his assessments are like not at all right. And his grammar is terrible. I'm not judging because, I mean, seriously. But anyway, but definitely watch his videos because they are top notch.
All right. Classic game of the week is Winning Run. Good pick. That was a very educational pick this week because, again, I think that's a game that a lot of people have heard of. Well, I know a game a lot of you guys have been hearing about this week is Blaster Master 02, thanks to the Nindies. So we're going to take a moment here to go to a pre-recorded bit here from earlier today with me. Okay, hello everybody. I thought for our pre-recorded segment this week, we could take a look at the just-released Blaster Master 0 Part 2, which I'm sure at this point we've talked about earlier in the show, as it was kind of that surprise announcement during Nintendo's presentation this week during their Nindies event that this Blaster Master 0 Part 2 was available today. And certainly, you know, for fans of the first Blaster Master game, it probably left folks feeling like, oh, well, the first Blaster Master was a reimagining of obviously that first Blaster Master game from the NES so long ago. Where are they going to go with the sequel? Because, yes, I think many of us know that the original Blaster Master had sequels on the Genesis and there was that Wii game that was a reimagining a while ago. I think there was one on the Game Boy as well, but let's be real, none of those were particularly good. So I think it kind of left this Blaster Master, and I'm going back into the opening sequence here, where it kind of sets the tone for the game while I'm talking. It kind of leaves Blaster Master 0 Part 2 to do something a little bit more original. So if you actually kind of watch this opening sequence where it's basically recapping the events of the first game, you learn that Jason, you know, obviously the frog jumped in and got lost, which I think many classic game fans know is the plot of the original Blaster Master games. But something new that they kind of introduced in Blaster Master 0 when they did the reimagining on the Switch is that there was this other character, Eve. Which is funny because Eve was one of the characters that was actually in that Blaster Master book when you had those whole like Worlds of Power books by FX9 some time ago. So it was kind of interesting because that ended up being like a canon thing due to Blaster Master 0. Anyway, it's kind of funky how the whole thing works, but the plot and the setup for this new, I guess, original story that Inti Creates is making with Blaster Master 0 Part 2 is that Eve got infected with a parasite. Yes, she became Parasite Eve. And so she got infected with a parasite, so they're going to go to Eve's homeworld, Sophia, to find the cure, I guess, for this plague. So that's what this game sets up here. So we're looking at the menu, and if you kind of look at the how to play section, and actually, this is my very first time looking at it. I didn't really prep this in advance. I just thought, oh, I'll just kind of do a quick little playthrough. Since we don't want to spend a whole lot of time during the show, but, you know, give ourselves a little break in studio, we can kind of look at kind of like generally what this game looks like and how it works. And you can even look at from this how to play menu is that you have a lot of the same features that you're kind of used to in Blaster Master. It doesn't look like they invented a lot of original things, except I'm not sure what it's trying to say with one of these screens here where you can see that the, and again, I know there's folks listening on the podcast who can't see these screens, but there's one where there's the vehicles like falling all the way down to the bottom. And it's got some type of like, I don't know if that's supposed to be like a climb or a move or something. I'm just not connecting to a special move from the first game. Maybe somebody in chat is probably yelling it out right now. But it also looks like they may have changed the top-down view a bit, that portion of the game. That's what it looks like in the second menu, is that it looks like it's more of like a slanted view. So I'm excited to try to at least, in this little segment here, get to one of those sections, because I want to see if that looks any different, because this How to Play definitely makes it look like it might be a little bit different. So let's get to it. I'm going to jump into the game and just kind of see where it throws us off here. So like the first game, you have several different save slots, and I wonder if they aren't going to be planning to expand it with DLC later on, like they did the original Blaster Master Zero, is that you could play with all these other characters that weren't really connected to Blaster Master, but it was kind of neat to see them in the game anyway. So, all right, here we are. So we're going to a new planet, and the original cutscenes kind of set that up that we saw earlier. So now we have Jason saying it was close. We touched down right before our energy ran out. Eve is the Gaia system holding up. And you can see, if you're looking on the Twitch stream, you can kind of see Eve's got that little... You know, she looks sick. She looks like she might be part zombie there. So that's part of the story here. So, yes, things are converted. And I'm sure it's probably setting things up here to be like, oh, but the thing is powerless. You're going to have to find all the features. That's a true landmark of any Metroidvania game, is that you have to go around and find everything. So, all right. So it should allow for limitless planet exploration. So I guess when you fall, you get SP, and maybe that's what that How to Play thing was saying earlier. I'm not sure. Yeah, see, no more hover function, so you're going to have to kind of find that. So, yeah. So as the dialogue is going on, we're kind of learning about that. Oh, the car is a little broken, but that makes sense. You know, you got to start over since it is a new game. So hopefully we'll get through these cutscenes here. All right, there we go. Now I can play. So, yeah, oh, yeah, this feels very similar to the first game, where you can drive around in the car right now. You can, it looks like immediately right away, fire through bricks, which was a power-up in the older games. So kind of interesting that they give you that feature right off the bat. And it looks like there might be some, you can see some things on the screen, but they're a little high up, so I can't get them yet. So it's one of those classic, you got to come all the way back to the beginning, probably to get those, unless there's something I'm not thinking of, which that very, very possibly could be the case. So now they're kind of setting up some of the story that there are, in fact, aliens on this planet, too, that are bad, and you're going to have to kill those. So it's talking about the SP conversion still, and basically that's how you power your special attacks, it sounds like. So it sounds like that could be an interesting kind of limited feature. So it said, oh yeah, look at that, when I fell a long way, bam, it converted. That's kind of an interesting little feature. All right, we'll have to see how that plays out. Now how do I oh, there we go. Oh, okay, so you can actually choose by holding the L button what it is you want to fire, and I don't know if you use the L button to fire. Ah, no, it's the A button. Gotcha. Okay, so I just killed a little crab, and I had to hit him with the missiles first, and then kind of attack him. So I bet if I fall from the... Oh, that's an interesting way to recover special units, is to have to fall from a distance to do that. Kind of interesting. All right, so now there's... Okay, let's see if we can... So you have to really time this right to hit him with the missiles, and then fire at him. All right, let's see, obviously, I can't spend too long looking at this game, because I know we're going to want to get back to the show before too long, but I want to see if I can get to one of those top-down sequences to see how that plays. So hopefully there's one of them before too long. All right, there's a save spot. We know those. So that saves the game. Aha, there's one of those little doors. So we will have to go hop in there. And they're saying that with the dialogue as well. And how convenient. Eve can't leave and go with you to help fight. She's stuck in the car because of her sickness. That's what they're kind of saying there in the dialogue there. All right, let's see. Get through lots of dialogue. Lots of pressing A. All right, ribbit, ribbit. Okay, let's see. Here we go. So making our way down to this little... Okay, so there's a ladder here, but it's one that we're going to have to exit. But this also means now Jason can't really fall a great distance. Ooh. Anyway, I had to kneel down there because I got hit with a bullet. A little tricky.
I lost a little bit of health doing that, but I made it to the door, so now we can see the top-down sequence. So it's loading, and here we are. Oh, it does... Okay, it kind of... It does look like the first game in a lot of ways, but Jason definitely looks, like, overpowered. Like, he looks like he's definitely grown a lot since the events of the first game. And obviously, again, for those on the podcast that are listening and can't see the visuals right now, you know, it's got a definitely unique sort of skin to it that doesn't look like the planet from the first game. It looks a little more like this kind of purpley planet that we fell onto. But otherwise, a lot of the gameplay still kind of feels like the first game, although you have things like floating platforms and things. Okay, so you had to push that platform down, and that's how you get your first item, a map. We found it. Oh, and the frog is very happy, and he made a little portal appear that immediately warps me out the door, so I don't have to walk all the way back. Well, that's a convenient feature. I sure like that. And so let's see. So he should have given me a map, which, where would I see that? Would I see that? Oh, there we go. So you can actually see now a map of the area, and you can see where the other items are and where the boss is, and we can start to make our way from here. So... All right, we got to take just a quick peek, but we wanted to take a look and see what it looks like in motion, and definitely something I know I want to explore a little bit more later, because now Inti Creates kind of has this canvas where they're not beholden to the original story anymore. And, you know, even though I think they did a really good job with the first Blaster Master Zero of, like, reinterpreting the first game but kind of doing their own thing with it, even though some people criticized it for being too easy, I think a lot of us kind of look back at the original Blaster Master and go, that's a really hard game to beat, you know, especially in like one sitting like you used to have to do it back in the day. So I think Blaster Master Zero kind of tried to, you know, make it a little bit easier, but then had some more challenging modes with the different characters and the difficult modes that they added in there as well. So I'm very interested to see what more they do with this different canvas. It sounds like you might be going between different planets and other things like that. So there it is, a first look at Blaster Master Zero Part 2, because apparently the first one sold well enough. So good job, Inti Creates. They're making some great games so far. So we're going to go back to the studio.
Okay, we are back. Thank you, me. welcome back to Orange Lounge Radio in progress tonight on March 24th, 2019, and episode number 769 already in progress. We are going to get into some rapid-fire news here shortly, but... you know, I know a few weeks ago on the show here, Darkstalker, you were giving a shout out to another podcast, doing a little plug there for our old OLR pals that used to be here a lot, Chris and Megzy, although they moved.
Yeah.
You got a lot of positive feedback from plugging podcasts, and we always say support indie podcasts.
Precisely.
Here at Orange Lounge Radio. So you want to give another one a shout out tonight?
I do. And I'm going to be taking suggestions from people on Twitter. So if you've got one that you would like to have a shout out to, as long as they are like non-hateful asshole podcasts. I mean, if they're not asshole podcasts, I will... know what I mean.
I had a show called The Asshole Podcast. Oh, well.
Was it about bleached assholes?
No.
Okay, then. So I don't care. Anyway.
But if it was about bleached assholes, you would care?
We would point it to Extifer.
Let's not ruin the shout-out.
Anyway. So the suggestion on Twitter comes from Springtimey. And... it's a podcast called Riptide Podcast. It is a pinball podcast for women in pinball and competitive pinball. I'm sorry, I got the name wrong. Riptide Pinball Podcast. And it's at Riptide Podcast. You can find them on iTunes. I didn't see anything super recent, but I guess it does a Darren, you know, releases and whatnot. But at any rate, I definitely want to give them a shout out. We need more women in pinball, especially competitive pinball. We have a ladies league up here. I'm not competitive, so I don't want to play.
Mm-hmm.
I just like to play and lose by myself. but at any rate,
literally in the privacy of your own home,
in the privacy of my own home, even when Dan's not there or he's asleep and Midna's in the other room. So she's not judging me with her cat eyes. Anyway, so yeah, give them a check out.
All right. Thanks for the tweet, and thanks for the shout-out.
Send me more suggestions. It's at Dark Sakura.
Or you could probably send them to the show Twitter, and I can pass them along, too. So,
but I want more people to talk to me on Twitter.
Are you lonely on Twitter?
A little bit. I'm trying to give my Twitter more attention and really put more focus on games and less at yelling at politicians.
All right. Okay, let's move on to some rapid fire news and talk about some other things going on in the game industry right now. Loki, we'll start with you.
So Nintendo was doing their directs. Microsoft has their little thing that they do. Now Sony's joining in the game with their State of Play Live
Inside
broadcast.
Xbox is what you're trying to think of.
Whatever. I don't give a shit. they have their State of Play, and they're doing live broadcasts to talk about different games that are coming out in their platform announcements and whatnot. So the first State of Play is going to be March 25th at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, and they're going to show something. Hooray! Something. Hooray!
Well, remember, Sony's not doing E3 this year, so they're going to be showing the PlayStation 5. No, I'm kidding. But wouldn't that be a gag if they didn't? No, I think they would give us a little more announcement. Probably some unreleased PS4 games, some things to carry them through the summer and the rest of the year. Very similar to what we would see if Nintendo said, we got a Direct tomorrow. It would be a very similar sort of thing.
Yeah, we'll see. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, as usual, Bethesda's announced that they're going to be doing their E3 press conference right in the middle of our goddamn show. So 5 p.m. Pacific time on Sunday, June 9th. So, of course, we'll be interrupting for that. Hooray!
Hooray.
Hopefully we won't be disappointed by their announcements.
All right. Moving on. Talking about Apex Legends. There is a new patch for Apex Legends on PC. So apparently there were a lot of crashing issues for Apex Legends on PC. So Respawn went and did some tweaking with the game, and they did a patch. So it's supposed to be some stability, some performance issues. It also capped the frames per second on PC to 300. So you can get no more than 300 frames a second on PC. And if you're getting 300 frames a second, you must have a beefy PC. But anyway, also, apparently, it will actually, when the game crashes, it will do like a text dump. So you can learn more about, I guess, why it's crashing. So that's kind of neat. Also, it should be mentioned that there was a new champion, or what did it call it? A legend? I don't know what they call the fighter's name is, but a new Octane is the newest playable person.
No, he doesn't look like one of the psychos from Borderlands at all.
He also kind of has like the Junkrat thing going on. I think his legs are replaced with, they're not like.
Do you mean cybernetic?
Yeah, I think they're cybernetic legs or something. I don't know, but they're not. They don't look like. They look enhanced or
he's
something.
He's got magic
there.
Legs.
Yes, we'll say that. A lot of people very excited about this news, which was kind of released along. I know I say that GDC is not the place for game announcements, but here's one that was announced during the GDC timeframe. Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2. So it is there is going to be a second game. That's pretty cool. The game is going to be in 2020. It is a sequel to the original Bloodlines that was out on PC and console. And if you're a fan of Vampire the Masquerade, this might be something that you're into. I know a lot of people I saw on Twitter were excited about that. This game is being developed by Hardsuit Labs, and the story involves a vampire insurrection where you're going to be making an alliance with warring clans, and there's politics and volatile climates and all sorts of fun things.
They had a lot of announcements during GDC, actually, for games.
Pre-order now for $60.
Because, like, I was watching the Unity press event thing that they were doing, and they announced, well, they showed off a new trailer for System Shock 3,
mm-hmm.
and they announced Call of Duty Mobile. That's kind of the weirdest place to do that, but okay, because it's built on Unity. That's going to be a big mobile thing.
Yeah. Well, there were, and I'm not to say, like, they never talk about games at GDC, and certainly, like, indie developers get their games out there, but it's just, like, it's not E3, and there was, I think people kind of have it in the right perspective now, but there was definitely a period of time where people thought, oh, GDC is like a mini E3.
Not really.
It's for the developer audience, but because it's for developers, sometimes you get, these are the new tools to be developed on. But sure, sometimes developers are going to want to show off, here's what we've been working on. So you get some game announcements.
Yeah.
So, and again, to this is a pretty big deal to some people. Questbuster in our chat, yay, Bloodlines 2. And I think there's a lot of people that are saying yay to this. We have a few more rapid-fire stories, but they're coming from Dark Sagra.
Yep. Well, one might remember that I talked about Pierre Taki, who played Hamura Kyohei in Judgment Eyes in Japan.
Uh-huh.
was they pulled the game off the out of sales because he had been busted for cocaine. They're actually fully removing him from the game, replacing his model with a different character and different Japanese voice acting or a different actor to be released in the Western market and redone in Japan. So those first original release copies, kind of rare. Someone find me one.
Being replaced with Sonic the Hedgehog.
Fucking A.
who thought we'd have like a highly collectible type of game here in the year 2019 like this, you know, in the age of digital distribution? But, you know, this is going to be a rare game if you can get the one that has the original guy in it.
Someone get it for me. And then in other news, EverQuest turned 20. Yay. People are still fucking playing EverQuest.
It's hard to let it go, man.
So they're celebrating with new progression servers, new in-game events, and 50% experience point bonus through March. So, yay.
As Jason kind of alluded to in tonight's intro, this is one of those stories where, like, you know, on Facebook all the time we see these story about such and such turns XX today. Oh, no, here's the big one. Do you know that in theaters this week, they have Cruel Intentions re-released in theaters? The movie with Sarah Michelle Gellar and Ryan Phillippe and all that. Do you know why they re-released it in theaters this week? Because the movie turned 20 years old. And it's one of those things where we're like, thanks.
I didn't need a reminder.
I know, right? I didn't need a reminder how old that was. Thanks. Appreciate that. Well, there you go. I know SSGO and her Matt just replied with a bunch of dots, right? I know. I was like, wait. Cruel Intentions is like 20 years old, and I'm like,
you know, I've never seen it, right?
Oh, really? It's not an Oscar movie, but like,
should we have like a 90s?
We should just go. We should go to the theater and see it. Although, here's the problem: I do want to see that, but I also, now that I know it's not super gory, because I asked somebody about it, I really want to see Us.
Me too. So, although I understand that if you are a bunny lover, then there is sadness.
Oh no! Like Fatal Attraction. Depressing. Then my sister should see it. My sister loves.
Well, I saw
bunnies.
It when someone warned Marissa.
Okay.
Because, you know, she has her spotted bunny named Snoopy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So there's.
But apparently it does actually contribute to the storyline. So.
Okay. Oh, boy. All right. That's one of those. That's like, because that's one of those, like, even though, you know, you may not want the minor story spoiler or whatever, it's still one of those things where it's like, why they have websites of does the dog die or what is that? There's some website where you can go and you can check on any film to see if the dog dies. So that way, you know, in event, like, I ain't seeing this movie because I know the dog.
I wish I had been warned about Drag Me to Hell. Cat.
Hold up. You went to see a movie called Drag Me to Hell?
Because Tiara wanted to see it.
But you were shocked by something in a movie called Drag Me to Hell.
I wasn't shocked. The only reason I saw it is because it was a Sam Raimi movie.
Okay.
It wasn't really all that fucking good. I mean, she liked it, but I just didn't understand. I would have liked to have been warned if a cat was being sacrificed in a movie, okay?
Yeah.
But at any rate, Drag Me to Hell is really stupid. I really did not like that movie.
Tiger Claw is mentioning, speaking of old things, and then we'll move into release dates, I promise. Tiger Claw in chat is talking about that at C2E2, the big Chicago event that was this week, they had a Clueless reunion. They sure did, except rest in peace, Brittany Murphy wouldn't have been able to be a part of that. So, but I think they had everybody else involved. I don't think Stacey Dash was there, but, you know. Everybody else was, so that could be. But rest in peace, Brittany Murphy. And in my opinion, although Brittany Murphy is fabulous in the movie Clueless, if you really want an underrated Brittany Murphy role and an underrated movie in general, you need to go see the cult comedy classic Drop Dead Gorgeous. It's perfect. I love that movie.
By the way, I just got a black cat in Animal Crossing, named Kiki.
Oh, the universe heard you calling out for more kitties.
I needed a Kiki.
All right, let's move on and travel around the world and check out some things that are not 20 years old. They're brand new as they are released in different parts of the world, starting with the U.S.
How ironic that you would transition with that, because our first release for this week is none other than the brand new Final Fantasy VII on Nintendo Switch and Xbox One. And then we have Generation Zero on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. MLB The Show 19 on PlayStation 4. Outward on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Space Junkies on PC. I guess that's... I thought that was already... Maybe that was early access. Now it's coming out of early access, which is a VR game. Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel on PC, or I'm sorry, PlayStation 4. The Princess Guide on Switch and PlayStation 4. The Walking Dead, the final season, episode 4, Take Us Back on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and...
Is that like the former Telltale stuff that got picked up by...
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So they're releasing yet another episode in it.
Who picked that up? Somebody... It was a logical... Oh, anyway.
I remember. Anyways, yeah, yeah. PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One. Xenon Racer on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And we got a couple more for this week. Fun Animal Park on the Switch. Assassin's Creed 3 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. I'm assuming that's the remaster.
Yeah.
And finally on the Switch, Yoshi's Crafted World.
Oh, cool.
That's it.
All right. Going over to Japan and checking out the releases there. In Japan this week, we have on the PlayStation 4, we have Remy Lore is a game that's out this week, as well as Winning Post 9. So we've talked about Winning Run, Winning 11, and now Winning Post 9 is out in Japan this week. And a game called Full Kiss.
We just need a game called Winning!
That's just
starring
Winning.
Charlie Sheen.
No, just a game called Winning. Starring me, because I'm winning. The Lego Movie 2 video game gets a Japanese release this week on the PlayStation 4.
It's different.
It's different. Did I mention Full Kiss in a regular and full version that's out this week as well? Call of Cthulhu gets a Japanese release this week as well. Memories Off, Innocent File for Dearest in a regular and limited edition. And Utoware Urumono, there's two versions of that releasing this week on the PlayStation 4. And then one other game that's coming out this week, Konosuba, God's Blessing on This Wonderful World, The Labyrinth of Hope and Gathering of Adventurers. That is the name.
Sign me the fuck up. That sounds epic as fuck.
That's a very long title, but
I want to fucking climb a mountain now.
Anyway, the main character is Kazuma and parties alongside Aqua, Megumin, Darkness, and one other character to make a 5-person party. It looks like a very basic, like old school RPG, but on the PlayStation 4. And when you go through the story, you get new costumes. Whoopee. Anyway.
To quote Mystery Science Theater 3000, whoopty shit.
On the Switch this week, Winning Post 9 is out there. Remelore, Diabolic Lovers, Chaos Lineage, and the Lego Movie 2 video game is out in Japan as well on the Switch. Memories Off, Innocent File for Dearest. So a lot of those same games also on the Switch this week. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
Oh, a bunch of stuff. We have The Walking Dead, the final season. All right, all these that I'm naming right now are on the 25th. Outward, we have Space Junkies. We have Xenon Racer for the major three. We have Generation Zero, looks like a mecha game. Dragon Marked for Death, which looks really fun. That's going to be on Switch. Squishies. Squishy. Kingdom Hearts, the story so far on PlayStation. Actually, that's the 20th. Squishies, Dragon, and Kingdom Hearts are all on the 28th. And also on the 28th is Nelki and the Legendary Alchemists, Tropico 6, and The Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel, and Yoshi's Crafted World Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered. Zasit.
All right, going to some comments in chat. ActDeft is talking about Konosuba. It is an anime. It's very popular. The story is about a guy who dies and gets transported to an RPG-esque world. Interesting. Speaking of animes, did you know that Ingress anime is finally coming out in the U.S.?
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't that coming out soon?
Finally. It was supposed to come out like last year in late November. I think it's been out in Japan. It's already done in Japan, I think. Finally hitting Netflix, I think, the end of April is when that's finally coming out.
It better have the option for subtitles.
So, I'm sure. Most of the Netflix anime stuff is pretty good about that. So anyway, let's get to our mailbag. Every week you guys email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we read our favorite emails here on the air. And we got one, right?
We got one. There's one.
Okay, just one. All right.
And it's actually subject line is, oh man. Uh-oh. I had zero interest in the Toy-Con elephant set until they showed what was essentially tilt brush with it, even if you can't walk around or through your artwork. And that comes from Robert M. That's it.
That's it.
Thank you for keeping it short and sweet.
I'm sorry, I might have missed because I was prepping for the next story over here. Was there a question in there for us?
No.
Just an observation?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it would be kind of cool to walk through your artwork, but I don't expect that of Nintendo.
Yeah.
I do wonder how, like, I've been without this game, without Animal Crossing, for, like, essentially the last 3 months, and now I'm fucking addicted to it again.
Just wait until Animal Crossing is on the Switch.
Oh, fuck. Our Switch is never going to be at the house again while I'm, you know, at work.
My wife.
Since, you didn't have to buy a second Switch.
No, no, my wife.
We didn't
since,
buy our first Switch.
Christmas, I got, you know, the kids, their 2DSs, and I got them Animal Crossing on those. Guess who's been playing Animal Crossing since they got their system? My youngest son hasn't had his 2DS for months now because she's been playing Animal Crossing every day.
Good for her. Your wife's a gamer after all. How about that?
She's got to do something without any new Excite Truck.
You know what you need to do? This is how you get her back. So next time she's sitting there on the couch playing the game, you just walk in there and go, games, 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 games. Because I remember she used to do that to you.
Well, she's doing that and watching The Act on Hulu. So, you know, because she needs to get her drama-filled show with, you know.
I understand. That's why
Munchausen's
I watch
by proxy.
That's why I watch MSNBC. I need to get my weekly fill of drama every week.
Fucking A.
There's been a lot of it this weekend.
You know what? I can't stand MSNBC.
I
can't
like
stand
it.
MSNBC for the same reason I can't stand Fox News.
It's too lean.
Too skewed. Yeah. Way too fucking skewed. Eh. If you deal with any news source that is too skewed, you are not going to get the whole story. So that's why I read BBC.
I also don't, not to go too far down this road, I kind of know that when I watch it. So I kind of have that perspective in mind. So I don't like let myself be swayed.
The only reason I'm actually saying that is because there are people who take it as much gospel as some people take Fox News.
Oh, I'm sure.
As I warn everybody, this is your PSA of the evening and not just educational radio. Take everything that you see with a grain of salt and research, research, research.
Mm-hmm. But if it's on Wikipedia, it's true. That's a joke. All right. Moving on, we got some more news for you guys, and we're going to try to squeeze in some calls. We're running a little long tonight, just some good discussion here happening in studio. So we will have time for Discord stuff, and if you want to call us the show via Discord, you can by joining our green room, but I am going to warn it probably is going to be a short segment tonight for that part. So have your question ready to go, and you can tell us what you're going to talk about in Orange on Studio. Huh?
I do also want an FU.
You want an FU? Can we do that closer to the Discord segment? Okay. Then let's get to, remind me, don't let me end the show without it. Let's get to some more news. Loki.
Yes. And so Epic had a presentation they did at GDC as well and made a bunch of announcements of games that are exclusive to the Epic Games Store coming soon. So, for example, Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls, and Detroit Become Human are coming to PC. But those are exclusive to the store. Aside from that, they announced 10 other games as well. So they have After Party, The Cycle, Dauntless, Industries of Titan, Journey to the Savage Planet, Kine, Phoenix Point, The Sinking City, Spellbreak, and Solar Ash are all going to be exclusive on the store. And Ancestors, the Humankind Odyssey as well. So
I'm kind of all about Detroit and that coming to PC. It's not even the Epic Game Store. I mean, whatever, they're wheeling and dealing or whatever. But the fact that these games are coming out on PC is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So because, you know, that was one of those games I meant to play on PS4 and I just kind of never got around to. But I wonder if when it comes out on PC, they'll cut the price on PS4 just to be like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So there's that.
Questbuster in chat says, damn, Industries of Titan and Sinking City. So some folks have their eyes on
They also threw a lot of shade on Steam as well because they were talking about how they're going to really monitor what gets uploaded to their store. They're not going to include porn or
they don't have the door wide open that anybody can publish a game. And you got to wonder if when Epic gets more and more games, there might be calls to have a more open door where you can publish your own thing on Epic and if they'll have a solution. Because, you know, Steam's kind of been trying these different solutions like the project.
They really should just go back to the previous solution because that was better than it was now. And now is really
where good. What you everything you have to know the right people to get in the Epic Store and just
because well, like it's just there's so much like crap on there. I mean, yeah. But I guess neither are the perfect solution. I don't know.
To be continued, to be developed. Also, always under renovations is the game Heroes of the Storm, which, you know, the community's been facing a lot of, like, kind of kicks in the butt lately with the whole fact that, you know, the esports was kind of sunsetted, the official one anyway. And it sounds like a lot of the development on this game is going to kind of go more into support mode as opposed to, like, develop a lot of new stuff. I mean, not to say they won't ever do new heroes and stuff, but it has been a while since they've announced a new hero. I don't know. So the game might kind of be moving into a stable state. But anyway, the news this week is that they're going to be changing the way loot boxes work. You know, Heroes of the Storm does have loot boxes, but it was a free game. So I think a lot of people feel, all right, you can do loot boxes, your game's free. But you're actually not going to be able to pay for loot boxes anymore. Gems, which are the pay currency, will no longer be usable to get loot boxes. You have to earn loot boxes in-game by leveling up and all that stuff. Or you use the currency that you get in the game, the gold in the game, to buy those loot boxes. So you can no longer buy with pay currency loot boxes. So that kind of begs the question, where is this game going to make their money? It's money then. Well, don't forget, they do still sell. The things that you get in the loot boxes are still things you can buy piecemeal on the store. You can buy new heroes. You can buy new skins, new mounts, announcers, you know, things like that. You can buy all those things with the gems. It's just they are taking out the random chance fun box, which I must admit I have never purchased. Pretty much any time I did drop money on Heroes of the Storm, and I have spent a little money on Heroes of the Storm, I bought like a they had like a sale on an Uber bundle with like a hero amount and like a couple things. I was like, okay, I'll get, for $20 I'll get that. And that's about the most money I've spent on Heroes of the Storm. I've probably spent about as much money on Heroes of the Storm as I would have on a retail game release, and I got a lot of enjoyment out of that game. I haven't been playing it as much lately, but you know, there's just been other things like Overwatch. I need to play Overwatch again and play that new hero, which looked really cool. So anyway, Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Well, last but not least of my things here, we have the return of Obra Dinn, which is a fun name. It won quite a few awards at Game Developers Conference. And that one was actually developed by Lucas Pope, who did Papers, Please. And you know how well that game took off.
Oh, yeah.
But it won... basically, the game is about discovering, you know, just different things that happen while sailing a ship. It won the Best Narrative. It also won the IGF Grand Prize in Excellence in Narrative. And also Game of the Year... was I just had it a second ago, was God of War.
It sounds like as far as the you know, in more indie development goes, this guy you know, because Papers, Please was kind of, you know, it was a very interesting game. It was kind of a commentary in some ways without being directly in your face about it. Like, it was definitely a commentary on some things in culture. So it sounds like this guy's getting pretty good at making thought-provoking games. Sounds like that's what this new one's doing.
Well, here are the Game Developers Choice winners for Best Audio: Celeste, Best Debut: Mountains, Best Design: Into the Breach, Best Mobile was Florence, Innovation Award was Nintendo Labo, Narrative was The Return of Obra Dinn, Best Technology was Red Dead Redemption 2. I guess it must be all the horse penis.
The graphics are pretty stunning in that game, so.
Best Visuals is Grease, which I'm actually looking to play, GRIS. I'm actually planning on trying to stream that one. But because I haven't been able to get the Super Nintendo hooked up yet, we have to clean out that office a lot. The best VR AR game is Beat Saber. Audience Award is Beat Saber. Game of the Year is God of War. Pioneer Award, Reiko Kodama. Lifetime Achievement Award is Amy Hennig. And for the Independent Games Festival winners, we have for the Seamus McNally Grand Prize, Return of the Obra Dinn. Excellence in Visual Art is Mirror Drop. Excellence in Audio is Paratropic. Excellence in Design is Opus Magnum. Excellence in Narrative is Return of the Obra Dinn. A Nuovo Award that's given to Unusual Experimental Games is Black Room, which I've wanted to look into. And Best Student Game is After Hours. So there you go.
That's pretty cool that you have an award ceremony that really honors, like, I mean, student-developed games all the way to AAA stuff like God of War. So I really feel like we got a full spectrum of different development
indeed,
sides
indeed.
Here. That's cool. Questbuster pointing out, as far as Papers, Please go, the Papers, Please short film on Steam is also really good. I heard they were making like a movie out of it, but it wasn't like a, so I never saw the finished product. I'll have to check that out. Sounds interesting. Yeah.
But there's just quite a number of things that I'm going to be checking out that came out of GDC. So
cool. And hopefully some folks here in studio. That'd be great. I'd love that.
Actually.
Or via Skype if need, or excuse me, Discord. Well, I can still do Skype on demand if need be, if our guests have to do it.
To go ahead and point this out, I'm actually planning on working on something with somebody else, and that's all I can say about it.
That was an announcement of an announcement if I ever heard one. All right.
We're going to do something with someone.
We're going to do something with somebody at some time, and you won't know when, but you're going to love it. All right. Moving on, just a couple more stories for you guys, and then we're going to get to the listener roundtable. If you have some questions for us in chat, or you want to join our green room in Discord, again, I'm not going to wait all night. So if the green room stays empty, then so be it. But get in there if you want to give us a call. First, we just have a couple more stories for you guys. Loki.
So you may remember that, you know, they had developed at one time, I don't know, if it wasn't necessarily a mod. It was more of like a multiplayer co-op version of Mario 64. Well, now,
yes, because Nintendo shut that shit down, but they put Wario in it, or Waluigi in it.
Well, they brought it. I think they brought it back too, and Nintendo tried to shut it down. I think it's still out there.
It was one of those once on the internet, always on the internet sorts of things. Yeah.
So now there is a new mod that's now for Zelda Ocarina of Time. They call it OOT Online, and it allows co-op for 2 to 15 players.
What would you do with 15 people in Ocarina of Time?
I don't know, but they have video footage showing what they could possibly do with it. So I don't know.
I watched some of the video, and it was a lot of two people. I don't think they showed more than two at a time.
Yeah, and it's kind of...
It was neat.
It looks like it's still early. I mean, like, some of the animations aren't really coming over too well. But it's neat that you can do that.
Right,
that
for sure.
They found a way to shoehorn it in there, but... I'd be curious to see what more they can do with this. And also if Waluigi's going to be in here.
What?
They just patch Waluigi in. Why? Because. All right. This is also very exciting news. I don't know why I say. Maybe I saved the best for last. I don't know. But it looks like, you know what's coming back? Lucasfilm Games is going to be making a comeback. Loom 2?
Oh, God.
We can only hope. Anyway, here's the deal. No. Before we just blatantly make stuff up, here's the deal. Disney has posted some job listings for some new Lucasfilm games. And especially when we've heard stories about layoff, this could be a great thing for some of those people to hopefully get there on the ground somewhere else, and this could be pretty cool. So Disney Careers, which is the official website for, you know, Disney postings and things like that, they are showing positions at Lucasfilm Games. Now, this has been in the news before because I guess Lucasfilm Games was looking for people in 2017, but it does seem like things are picking up because some of the job listings actually mention Nintendo Switch as a potential platform. Now, some places that are running with this story get into this whole talk about Star Wars games and how EA's kind of had the lock on Star Wars. And what have they done with it in 7 years? Like two Battlefront games, that's it.
Ruin the Star Wars name?
And they did, yeah. So some folks are wondering if Disney is either prepping for when that contract is over and they're going to make their own stuff. I mean, I would assume, actually, they could probably make their own stuff at any time. That's probably part of the agreement. But, you know, still, once this EA thing ends, if it'll be reevaluated. But I also kind of say, you know, Lucasfilm Games didn't just make Star Wars stuff. I joked about Loom, but that was certainly a memorable game. They did the Indiana Jones PC adventure games, which were really good as well. Maniac Mansion was them, wasn't it?
Maniac Mansion was them. They also had Mercenaries, I think. That was
Monkey Island. Thank you.
We used to call it Mercenaries back in the day.
So they made it. May not be, even though, yes, it's Lucasfilm, but, you know, also Lucas isn't strictly.
Can we get Maniac get a Maniac Mansion ride in Disneyland now?
That would be kind of cool. But, yeah, I'm curious to see what they're doing, and I'm curious if it's even Star Wars at all. Everybody's assuming it is, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's going to be something different.
So why can't we have both?
Yeah, why not? Why not both? So, anyway, Questbuster in chat says the hiring position seemed to show that the new Lucasfilm is going to be like a branding watchdog, at least for now. It would be nice to see a new Dark Forces, though. All right. Well, we are to the part of the show where we're going to do the listener roundtable. And I don't believe I saw anybody in our Discord waiting to call in, but I'll give it just a couple more minutes there. A couple more minutes for now. If you do want to call the show, go to our Discord server over at vognetwork.com/discord. That'll get you that invite right away into the server. And you're going to join the green room. And then you can mention in the Orange Lounge Radio channel what you want to talk about. And that would be great. So we have an idea what you are wanting to talk to us about tonight. But currently nobody's there. So maybe I mentioned we are running a little long anyway. So maybe just, people are shy tonight. I don't know. But if you have a quick question, you can also ask in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. While we wait to see if anything pops up there in chat or in Discord, do we have any last-minute stories to cover?
Yeah, the Atari VCS console's been delayed because they say they're improving specs of what's going in the console.
I totally forgot Atari was, making a new, console thing. Forgot this.
They say now it's going to be a new Vega graphics-based AMD Ryzen processor. Now we don't know when that's coming. I think they said the end of 2019 now. All right, we'll have to wait and see if that's even worth it at this point, but whatever. And then kind of, since we were talking about indies and stuff like that and different direct type things, Microsoft is doing an ID at Xbox Game Pass thing that's going to be streamed on March 26th at 9 p.m. Pacific. To showcase some indie games coming to that platform as well. So we'll have to take a look at those when those come out.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious what their response will be because, Microsoft's got a lot of good indie stuff on it. Before you get to the next story, though, we have a question in our chat for this segment from Dark Tetsuya who says, did y'all see that DDR Ace 20 or A20 finally launched? Apparently there's a Konami 50th anniversary song in it with nods to Gradius and Yar Kung Fu. I'd love to hear that song. Do they still put, rips from the arcade online somewhere?
Yes,
On, Bamani style or something?
I'm sure it's on YouTube.
It's probably on YouTube somewhere. I'll check that out. I want to hear that song. Have they said anything about when we get that over here in the States? Is it just location testing right now? Or is it, the official launch?
I think it's launched already because it's, they've
got... I would have thought they'd wait till 20 November.
Actual cabinets and everything. I think just... I don't know if it's a software upgrade that they're doing to some of the other cabinets. I know that they have the new gold cabinets as well. But if all of the Ace machines are going to turn the Ace 20s or how that works now that we live in this digital age with even arcade games.
Yeah, I'd be curious. So Dr. Tsuya says he'll put it on the Discord so we can and that the game is officially out. It's not a location test. It's officially out. I definitely want to hear the song. I would play it on air, but I got to be content matching and all that. I got to be careful because I don't want to get the stream muted for the people that do watch the archives, which you can do, by the way. Cheap plug. If you are a subscriber of our channel here at VOG Network, you get access to the video archives of Orange Lounge Radio, the Bobby Blackwolf Show, and anything else we might be doing in the future, which, by the way, there may be a special thing on Thursday. I'm just waiting on the final kind of thing on that, but stay tuned to my personal Twitter as well as the VOG Network Twitter. My personal Twitter is at Mr. Rob Roberts. We may have a thing on the stream on Thursday night, so... I'm waiting on the T's to get crossed and the I's to get dotted.
And a little bit ahead of PAX East, we're all, guessing that Borderlands 3 is going to be announced.
Yes.
But it may not be Borderlands 3. It may be actually Borderlands Game of the Year Edition. Now, I know what you're saying, but wait, Borderlands Game of the Year Edition, that already came out several years ago.
Not on the Switch.
It's not coming on the Switch. PC, they say that now it's been rated for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. They're saying that it's going to be a remaster, possibly, of the original Borderlands game. And I know what you're thinking. Well, wait a second. Didn't I already purchase a remaster of Borderlands games? The Handsome Jack Collection? Yes, you did. But that was 2 and technically the third game.
Whatever.
Pre-sequel. Yeah. So this is going to be the first game. And then, this is so nice. In-game purchases are a thing that they have flagged on here for Borderlands Game of the Year, which is weird because the Game of the Year edition should have all of the fucking content in it, so why am I having to make purchases for things?
Because maybe they're going to still have the 2 and the pre-sequel remaster available within this game, just a touch of a button.
You can get the Handsome Jack Collection for less than $15
now.
That's
true, so. That's true.
It's no point.
Fifth Dream today says maybe new things. Maybe not the same DLC. Maybe they're going back.
I don't really want a remaster for the first game.
Do
just
Borderlands
a third,
3, you cowards.
3 game. Yes. Do a third game. Or do another, I don't know, a Borderlands prequel or something. I don't
they already
know,
did a fucking prequel. Borderlands 3 or GTFO.
No, it was a pre-sequel. So
and I say that with the freaking poster hanging behind me here. 3 or get out.
I don't want a remaster.
Anyway, Tiger Claw says they're milking that franchise for all it's worth. SG100 Matt says Borderlands 2 had that bullshit too. And Fifth Dream today said maybe the newer characters in the first game.
Who That'd knows? Be cool.
And SG100 Matt says if you got the season pass for Borderlands 2, you didn't get the pre-order bonus content.
This has nothing to do with any of that, but That's it's fine. Definitely relevant to our interests. Akira Yamaoka just posted on Facebook because I follow him on Facebook.
Yeah, me too.
A poster. This is Akira Yamaoka Pantera. So either he's working with Pantera.
That's badass, if true.
Or is something... I think he's working with Pantera, looking by the logo.
Is he going to, like, produce the... Dude, it would make total sense that a band like Pantera, like, probably played the old Silent Hill games and was like...
Far Beyond Driven. Yes, it is. He's working with Pantera.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
So... Oh, you know what? Never mind. I know what this is. Okay, so I just figured out what it was. I went looking it up, and there's a Pantera ad generator, a font generator thing. So apparently Akira Yamaoka just played with it.
It's a fucking font?
My emotional roller coaster here.
I know. This is that clip from Roller Coaster Tycoon where they're like, do, 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 do. And then, like, you know, the coaster's going, everybody's having fun, and then the track just ends.
Was excited about it too, because I was like, "Holy shit! Working with Pantera, that's fucking awesome."
Akira Yamaoka's working with Pantera,
it's
Pantera.
And then
the
I just double checked the logo, and yeah, it looks like it's a Pantera like meme generator that's set for Far Beyond Driven.
Our chat room is laughing their ass off too.
Yeah, it's a. I just double checked it. I'll link the logo generator.
James Underland 1 in chat says, "What the fuck? I was lied to." ActF says, "I feel betrayed." Look, this is what it's Facebook. Nothing on Facebook is real.
I know, but like for a moment, I was just like, because usually when people do something like that, it's just like a splash, like something to get you interested. And I was like, and that wouldn't be beyond realm of possibility.
That would, yeah, I don't normally buy Pantera albums, but that one I would probably catch my
attention. But it's also like a fucking old-ass album. It's from, it's from 1994. But...
Oh, fun fact, that would make it 25 years old this year. Anyway, all right. Well, I don't see anybody else in the green room, and I don't see any other questions in chat. So,
how very dare you all?
I think it's about time to wrap up the show. Unless we have other last minute stories we didn't get to yet. Sorry.
Oh no, I'm just watching the new trailer for Earth Defense Force Iron Rain, which I totally need to get because it looks very awesome.
My friend's cat's named Pantera.
All right, we're going to wrap up the show, get everybody's final thoughts, and then we'll head on out of here for the night. But again, as always, I want to thank you guys for listening to Orange Lounge Radio, whether you watched us live on Twitch here or Sunday nights at the Voice Geeks Network, VOG Network, or if you downloaded our show free on iTunes or Google Play or wherever it is you listen to podcasts. Really appreciate it. As we say here on the show, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here in our Discord waiting to be on the show, then we can't share them with the world. So please help us spread the word.
I'm posting the poster I just made on my fan page.
Okay, you do that. Anyway, let's go around and get everybody's final thought. Well, is that your final thought, Dark Sagra?
I had a FU, but I forgot. Oh, yeah, I'll use this as my final thought then. Not really an FU. For all the people who says, oh, I went shopping today, or oh, I had my nails done, or oh, I did this, and say it's self-care, it's not self-care. That's pampering yourself. Self-care is doing the things every day that maintain your physical and mental health, meaning getting out of bed, taking your vitamins, walking, doing some exercise, leaving the house, getting enough sleep.
What if? And I mean, this is a totally legit question. What if, because I did this last week, what if I like canceled plans with somebody because I was just so burned out and exhausted.
That is something that contributes to your ongoing well-being.
Okay.
Because you have to have... Now, that's perfect self-care. That's taking care of your mental state. But just going out and doing something for momentary pleasure, that does not constitute real self-care. That's just treating yourself, okay? You know, if you go, say, get a massage because your back hurts, that's something that contributes to your ongoing physical and mental health, as an example. And for someone who is personally dealing with trauma, myself, who has been through a lot of these, doing something nice for yourself is fine, but it's not therapy.
And Peso Pacas in chat says, treat yourself too, though.
Treat yourself for sure. That is something that's a momentary uplifting.
If
and
you
some
see a gold sparkly hat that you want to own, by all means.
Wear it around in Target for 20 minutes and then buy it.
Or don't.
But,
but you wore it in Target.
But also on the same thing, if you are, say, financially struggling and you see the hat and you're like, but you know what? That $5 I'm going to spend on this hat could go into my groceries. That also is self-care. Being fiscally responsible. Just saying.
All right. Some words of wisdom from Anti-Dark Sakura. Appreciate that.
Bitches.
Let's see. I'll do my final thought, and then we'll do Loki's final thought. My final thought is I need to do about 8 more minutes of walking today. So I'm going to go out on a night walk after the show, and I'm going to hope I don't get stabbed. Loki,
what is it with everybody thinking they're going to get stabbed in these neighborhoods? Like, my wife's like, well, I could go for a walk today, but I might be murdered. I'm like, no one wants to murder you. You won't have any valuables on you. It's daytime. No one's going to murder you.
I will say that for...
How is this a nice thing to say to your wife? Nobody wants to kill you.
I will say for women, it is a very real concern for us that we are at higher risk than men usually are. So just saying.
But that's not what she's saying it for. She's saying it for because she wants me to go walk with her. And I don't want to because I already walked 3 miles earlier in the day. And I don't feel like going out for yet another 3 mile walk.
I think, although what Dark Sakura is saying is certainly valid, I think that is not quite the frame of reference that your wife is using.
For, right.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. All right. And then that was my final thought. So what's your final thought, Loki?
My final thought is I'll keep working on my game. That I'm going to show you guys.
Sounds good.
You don't get to see it.
Sounds good. Drop it on us like a surprise. I just want you to come in here one day and go, bam, here's my game. Here's my game. Well, bam, there's our podcast for this week. We'll be back to do it in 7 days with whatever happens in gaming news next week. Possibly some type of Borderlands news, something we're going to hear about the next week. PAX is going on next week, right? PAX East?
Yeah, it's PAX East.
So those of you guys still in Boston, right? I haven't been to PAX East in like, God, five, six years. So those of you that are going to Boston this weekend, have a ton of fun and don't get in too much trouble. And we'll have some of the news that comes out of that next week. So we'll see you in 7 days. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.